much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, so this is how it's gonna work. I'm gonna give you everything you need, a nice little box with a pretty red ribbon on it, and then I'm gonna walk away a free man. Okay? Rat and roll. Deal?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Okay, you kind of grab at the top.
Okay.
This is the teeth. This is the udder.
Okay.
You squeeze from the top, kind of, and then squeeze down.
Squeeze down. Okay. All right.
Squeeze. Down.
Now, is it better for me to double fist it, or should I do one udder at a time? I am a beginner. Keep that in mind.
I think you should do one at a time.
And did I really just say double fist it?
I don't know. You know, not a lot of things make me mad. Prejudice, traffic, bad waiters. BJ Novak is a children's book author now. How does that happen?
And now,
as the host of a late night show, I have to give the people what they want. And there is nothing that people want more than not Hitler.
Our feature presentation.
It's tough to argue with. It's got a point. Not Hitler. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and BJ. It is Monday. It is the 15th of June.
So, what's everybody up to?
362 days till my birthday.
Kevin. By the way, Bean, who sent you that video of me milking a goat?
Oh, not hard to find.
Yeah. It is the first thing that comes up when you Google my name. Correct.
Actually, I mean, technically, okay. I think you did, because one of your first visits to the Kevin and Bean show, you mentioned that was online, so I took note of that. And
then I blame myself.
Just hung on to the audio until now. Oh, but okay. But plenty of listeners have tried to tip us off to it as well. They have been eager for us to revisit it.
Fantastic.
That looked like a lot of fun, right?
Sure, yeah.
Milking
this is
a goat?
Why you fail.
Exactly. How was your, speaking of birthdays, Allie? Did you just cry alone in your car on Friday, or did you get together with some people, or what did you
do? No, she had some people in her car.
Right, I had some people over. I had a lovely, calm weekend. I was telling Chip, when you're old, you just do a small dinner.
Right.
You just maybe go out to lunch or a brunch, and that's it. You call it a day.
Yeah, you don't blow it out and do 72 hours a week in Las Vegas.
No, Kevin.
Anymore.
Talking about you and your weekends.
Oh, I thought you were responding to me like I said it. And I was like, what's happening? She's really losing it.
So it was fun. So we don't have to hear about it, your birthday, for how long now?
363 days. Two? I'm bad at math.
Okay.
Quite a while. We've got a while, is what I'm saying.
1,709 days.
Okay, 1,709, exactly.
1,709.
All right, listen, before we get started on the program, Kevin, we were discussing last week about the video of the kid, Walker, in the hospital waking up, seeing his cast, and you poo-pooed all over the video as not possibly being real.
I mean, I think we were all guessing whether it was real or not, yeah.
Right. Courtney Barnes is a name of another viral video that's out this week that we haven't spoken about on the air yet. This is the eyewitness to a car accident, the guy with the green hair wearing the Philadelphia Eagles hat.
Now, I love him so much.
You have some thoughts on him as well, I think.
No, I had an initial reaction, which was, doesn't he seem like he's sort of parodying all of the other people who've hit it big on the internet by, you know, talking to the police and giving an interview to the local TV station?
Like our friend Antoine Dodson.
Yeah. And then, you know, Dave and Ralph gave me like two sentences, and I was like, yeah, you know, that's true. Okay, I'm changing my mind now. Completely.
So in other words, your first thought is that he was playing for the camera,
yes.
And they convinced you that it was probably his real personality? Is that what's happening?
In 2 seconds.
Okay. Well, let me play some of the video, and then there's an update on Mr. Barnes. Okay. There's actually a follow-through on this.
Hello, people.
You can look at me. What'd you see?
Okay, well, I'm a witness here. What I seen was a horrible, tragic situation. The guy was coming down, and I guess the police was trying to do a stop point. The man said, no, not today, and they began to race behind each other like cats and dogs. The police officer got behind the man and started going so fast, his car spins out of control. Girl, he hit the pole. His head went to one side, and his body went to the other side, and this is the result. Lord be with this young man. He need a blessing.
By the way, the news reporter doesn't seem to be nearly excited enough that she just stumbled onto the greatest eyewitness in the history of local news.
Well, I think she's probably thinking about the accident.
Uh-huh.
And not the witness.
But she shouldn't be.
Yeah, agreed.
No.
She should be enjoying Courtney for all of his glory.
Well, where were you when this happened?
Well, ma'am, I was actually going to buy me a piece of burger from Burger King. And I just stopped right in the middle because my hunger just went away.
because when I seen that accident, girl, I just began to be nosy, and I just had to just understand that somebody was experiencing this difficulty moment that was just not.
All right, so that's Mr. Courtney Barnes. Okay. And in case you were wondering, Kevin, if he was some sort of camera hog, if he was trying to figure out a way to get himself on TV and become famous,
right?
You'll be happy to know that he, at the time of his appearance on the local channel WLBT-TV, was wanted by the police for robbery.
Oh, my God.
And as a result of him appearing on television, the police now have him in custody.
What?
Actually, he turned himself in to the Ridgeland Police Department and was arrested for the crime. He had shoplifted, and they had a bulletin out looking for him as a result of seeing him on the surveillance cameras in the store that he had ripped off in Jackson, Mississippi.
Police are probably watching that report going, this, what? could it be this easy?
So that is exactly what happened. Whether he was trying to be famous or not, he was, and that's how he ended up turning himself in and being arrested. So maybe if you know that you have ripped off stores and they're looking for you, maybe you avoid the camera.
Maybe less FaceTime?
Yeah, maybe you don't intentionally go out of your way to be widely seen around the Philadelphia area.
Well, he was wearing a disguise, though, so, you know, it's pretty tough to tell who he was.
Exactly how he looked in the video as well. And by the way, one other quick note, speaking of updates on previous stories. Last week, we told you about the 24-year-old British woman who was in jail in Malaysia for being naked on a mountaintop and causing an earthquake.
Right.
They did sentence her on Friday after the show, and they sentenced her to time already served, fined her $1,300, and sent her home. So she is safe, and she is back home in Britain, as are the others who were naked on the mountain.
That's not much of a penalty for causing an earthquake.
I know. Mass destruction.
Crazy,
Kevin.
Right?
I mean, 16 people did die as a result of her taking off her top on top of that mountain. But just so you know, she wasn't beheaded or anything like that. She actually was sent home and did apologize to Malaysia for...
Who said she was going to be beheaded? What are you talking about?
Hey, I don't know what goes on in other countries, man.
Okay.
It's possible, right?
I think that's a bit extreme, but... who am I?
And following up on one other story, yes. What's the update on donuts in Connecticut?
How dare you?
Has there been some movement on that one?
They're selling like a boss, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Lord be with this young man. He need a blessing.
He does. Mm. He really does need a blessing. Yeah. The Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, will be in the program today. Very excited about that. We found out. It's weird. We find out something really bizarre about Bean daily.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked with him for a long time. You'd think a lot of that stuff we would know by now, but he's just fresh entertainment, that Bean.
He'll surprise you.
He really will.
There's nothing bizarre about this.
Right.
It's just you guys making something out of nothing.
Sure. Yeah. Harvey Levin from TMZ will be on the program today. Mary McNamara from the LA Times talking about the state of television. And Adam Scott and Jason Schwartzman are going to be on the program today. Very excited about that. Their movie is The Overnight, and it looks fantastic. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
Yeah! First thing Monday morning, Ralph is here with our look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
Well, we live in a Jurassic world, my friends. That's all I'm saying. It's Jurassic's world, and we're just living in it. Over the weekend, just barely missed setting a record for the biggest opening movie weekend ever. The Avengers still hold that title, but did pretty well for itself. If you consider $204.6 million in North America.
Weren't we guessing 120 or
that's
something?
That's what the estimates from the industry were, hovering between $115 and $125 million. Bested all of those guesses by earning north of $204 million in North America, just beating out... just behind, rather, the Avengers, which pulled in $2,007.4 million and change. So, failure. Massive failure for Jurassic World. Just big, just losers.
I don't
losers.
Think that's considered losers.
You're first or your first loser, man. Second place is first loser.
Did any of us see it?
I did, yeah.
I didn't. I had a very busy weekend.
Allie had a friend that saw it three times.
Three.
Well, sure.
And it's a long movie.
Because of all those... dinosaurs that are in it.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Kevin?
It's one of those that is an 11 with special effects. It's just awesome to watch. And there are some moments that were sort of stupid, but you just go, doesn't matter. Here's another dinosaur. Let's go. It was awesome.
All right. And there, my friends, is America in a nutshell.
Yep. And Kevin literally screams that in the theater, by the way, when he's watching it.
How dare you.
There's another dinosaur. Let's go. I've had too many granola balls. Spy came in second at the box office with $16 million. Then San Andreas, Insidious, Chapter 3, Pitch Perfect 2. Then Entourage came in at number 6, Mad Max Fury Road, Avengers Age of Ultron, 8th, Tomorrowland, and Love and Mercy rounded out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
So did you say number 1 was $204 million, number 2 was $16 million?
Yes. Everybody went to see Jurassic World. If they went to the movies, that's what they were going to see. So congratulations to Chris Pratt and friends. Boy, could Chris Pratt be a bigger movie star than he is
right
now?
No, he could not.
He's really super likable and great.
Yes. As is John Stamos. I love him more than ever now. Friday night, he got popped for a DUI.
Douchebag!
Not only was he under the influence, but cops said, all right, you're under... Holy crap, you have to go to the hospital. That's how drunk you are.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was transported to the hospital for what they're calling a possible medical condition. Some say he was just loaded to the gills. I guess we'll find out more when he faces charges on September the 11th. But get a driver, John, for God's sakes.
And what's scary about that is that there were multiple calls to 911 reporting his drunk driving. So he was probably just weaving all over the place. It's a miracle he didn't hit somebody and hurt himself or others.
Well, maybe he did have a medical condition. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But that's just drinking, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Just nuts. Speaking of nuts, Lark Voorhees is in the news. You may not know that name necessarily, but she was Lisa Turtle on Saved by the Bell and is certifiable. She's great. She watched her interview. She's just boop out there. She just got married. Her better half's name is a guy named Jimmy Green. He's a music engineer. And he says that they made things official on April the 30th when they got married earlier this year. However, their honeymoon may be short-lived. He is apparently wanted in Arizona for threatening to kill a man.
Wow.
And he may go to prison. So, is that a deal breaker if you're marrying someone and they're wanted for threatening to murder someone? I don't think so.
I guess it would depend on the circumstances, on how believable their story was, that it's been blown out of proportion.
Look, I threaten to kill somebody almost every day.
You do that.
You can't be arrested for that all the time, can you? Bean, you'll be happy to know.
Yes.
You can add to your collection of creepy art. A bunch of paintings by young Adolf Hitler are going up for sale this month in Germany.
Do the kids love Hitler?
I don't.
Bean's kids do. Yeah. The Hitler youth that live in Bean's barn, they all love it.
Yeah.
14 watercolors and drawings painted in his most productive years as an artist, I think before he went on to a career as a homicidal maniac. 1904 to 1922, they will be sold in auction beginning this Thursday. So,
what are they guesstimated to go for, do you know?
Well, there's not a lot of comps to go with.
True. There's only one Hitler.
In terms of what his work has sold for previously.
Right.
But a watercolor that he did of Munich's City Hall in 1914, painted by a 25-year-old Hitler, sold most recently for $190,000.
Wow.
So they're saying these could be comparable. $50,000 to $100,000 is the low estimate, maybe closer to $200,000.
Is this money going to the Hitler estate?
Yes, it's going to Cars for Hitler, the name of the charity. You give them your car and they will raise money for Hitler somehow. I don't know. Bean, you say you're out?
I believe I'm out. I think it's a little pricey for me.
Yeah, well, you know. You know how you are with a dollar.
How many of those 14 pieces of art have you seen, though, Bean?
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, please.
I haven't. I didn't know about this story.
He is not good as an artist.
Really?
They say. Mm. They say he's mediocre at best. What he would do is take picture postcards that he would buy and then just do larger versions of those in canvas. Never had an original idea in his life. Always was copying other people's work. His true masterpiece was still World War II, I think. That was really his best work.
His best work, yeah.
I think so.
This is like Michael Jordan trying to play baseball. It's just
right.
Like, whatever. Just stick to what you know.
Stay in your lane, people. If you're going to be a homicidal lunatic dictator, be that.
Right.
Don't mess around with oils. Find your medium. Go with it.
Those just joining us, Ralph is giving advice to Adolf Hitler right now.
Right. And congratulations to Sophia Helkvist, the erotic lingerie model. She became a princess over the weekend. She married the Prince of Sweden, Carl Philip. That's a way to be a prince right there, bitches.
Yeah.
Who are you going to marry? One of these other royals now? I'm going to take that lingerie model over there and make her a princess. Boom! Sweden! Drop the mic.
I right? don't think she's that hot either, by the way.
Oh,
have you seen her, Ralph?
I will.
She's okay.
You can't murder him, Ralph.
You're worse than Hitler.
All
there was Hitler, like right, and then you, right? Just you're there. You're like Jurassic World, and then Hitler, the Avengers. But you're right up there.
Okay. Saying.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jim Belushi, 61 years old today. Helen Hunt celebrates her 52nd birthday. Courtney Cox is 51. Ice, Mother Effin' Cube, celebrates his 46th birthday today. Leah Remini is 45. Neil Patrick Harris. How much do you love Neil Patrick Harris?
He's the best.
He's super talented, super nice guy. 42 years old. Wayne Sermon, Imagine Dragons guitarist, turns 31. And Kim and Kanye's daughter, Northwest, is 2 today. Recently, in an interview, Kim was asked, will you name your next child South? Is that going to happen? And she set the record straight by saying no, she would not name her next child South. And here's why. Here's her quote from an interview on NPR, of all places, by the way. What are they doing interviewing Kim Kardashian? I have no idea. But here's what she said. I don't like Southwest because that's like, you know, North will always, you know, be better and more. She has a better direction. So I wouldn't do that. I don't think we'll go with another direction.
That's awesome.
That's her quote. Because, you know, North is a better direction. What?
I hope there were 15 follow-ups.
What?
That's great.
How is a direction better than others?
But you rank everything. Which direction is the best?
Right. What are the best directions in order of goodness?
I will say that I think what she is thinking is that North means up and positive and good, and South means not as good and down and bad. I think that's what she's thinking in her head.
Racist.
Love it.
Yeah, exactly. Beans are racist. South is bad. Oh, speaking of South, this morning when you're telling a little story about Courtney Barnes.
Yes.
I'll thank you to keep Philadelphia out of your mouth, please. That happened in Jackson, Mississippi, is where that
it did happen in Jackson, Mississippi. But yeah. he's an Eagles fan wearing an Eagles hat, though, right?
Yeah, but you're saying, oh, you got to stay out of the Philadelphia area.
Well, that's good advice as well.
Or whatever.
That's good advice.
No, it's
as well.
Not good advice. And he doesn't have to stay out of the Philadelphia area because none of it took place in Philadelphia.
No, you're right. You're right. I misspoke. If that's what I said, I apologize.
Yeah. Keep Philadelphia out of your mouth. That's all I'm saying.
It was Jackson, Mississippi. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, damn right I am. I'm going to give you these hands.
he's still an Eagles fan, though. He's still one of your people.
You don't know, man.
Well, I saw his hat that he was wearing on the video.
Found it, probably. Although he was rocking the green fingernails. That's a good look for football season. I might have to go with the green fingernails.
And the green hair, too.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Later this morning, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we got tickets for you to the KRX screening of Ted 2. Ralph, are you in that one, by the way?
Maybe.
Okay. Like it.
Maybe
KG. In theaters everywhere June 26th. Also, we have passes for a private studio tour for the new Fast and the Furious supercharged ride at Universal Studios Hollywood, hosted by our own Ted Stryker. So both of those coming up this morning on the world famous K-Rock. First, though, how about a little Real King, Fake King? Larry King, right, you guys?
Ow!
Right. Larry King is around, he's in his 80s or something like that. He's a radio and television legend who Sunday nights loves to tweet his mind. And it's a segment we call Real King, Fake King. I'm going to be reading some tweets for you, and all you guys in the room have to decide is whether they're actual Larry King tweets or they're tweets that I just made up. If it's a real Larry tweet, this is the sound you'll hear.
Will Glenda be there?
And if it's a fake Larry tweet, this is what it sounds like.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
All right. Everybody ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Kevin, I believe traditionally you are up first. Here is this morning's first tweet. I wonder what they call Brazil nuts in Brazil. I wonder what they call Brazil nuts in Brazil.
Ah, yes.
It's fake.
Kevin says fake.
I wonder what they call Brazil nuts in Brazil.
Doing the voice?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can imagine him dictating that to his gay male secretary in a Speedo.
By the way, Ralph is right. Larry does not tweet himself. He calls a phone number and yes. leaves a message for a guy to transcribe his tweets and then put them
up. That's awesome.
Calls 1-800-TWITTER.
Real. I think that's real. I think it's real.
All right. Alan McKay?
Right. I'm going to go with Kevin on this. I'm going to say fake.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Fake. In fact, a fake Larry King tweet. All right. Well
Can
done.
We quit right now while I'm tied for the lead?
No. Sure.
Kevin, have you ever won this
nope.
game?
All right. Not only don't
Today's
I win.
Today's your day, man. Today's your day. I feel it.
Not only don't I win, I'm so far behind by like the second one. I'm just out.
All right. All right, Ralph, you're up first. Up next. The hockey and basketball finals this year are terrific. The hockey and basketball finals this year are terrific.
That sounds like something he would say, but not something he would tweet because it's so just bland and generic. So I would say fake King.
The girl?
Thank you, Bean. I am going to go real King because I feel like he just thought it, left the message, and then after was like, oh, it should have been better.
Yeah. Post-Twitter regret?
Yes, okay. Yes. A little bit of remorse.
Look at the deep character background yes. that Alan McKay's getting into yeah. for Larry King.
He had to take a Xanax, and he laid down, and his wife came in, gave him a foot rub.
Do you think Larry knows it's the NBA and the NHL?
Oh,
like, that's
course,
weird.
Kevin.
I'm going to go with fake.
Will Glenda be there?
Real.
A real Larry King tweet. Real. Yes, indeed. And by the way, the perfect example of a terrible tweet that adds nothing to any conversation ever, right? How dare you?
Don't put that on your fridge. Why don't you put that on your fridge so next time you're in the kitchen, it'll remind you.
All right. Kevin, you have a point and...
I have two.
And Allie is leading.
I'm
okay.
Aught. I'm yeah. an aught.
All right. Up next.
I'm nil, as they say, on the pitch.
Allie, you're first here. Once you ride a bike, why can you always ride a bike?
Yes, right? Let's, who's with me on that
yes,
one?
That
Once you
makes...
ride a bike, why can you always ride a bike?
Oh, well.
Because they always say, it's like riding a bike.
Exactly.
Right. You never forget.
What and is here, it about riding a bike?
And now either Larry and or Bean want to know, what's all of that about?
That is such a Bean thing to say.
Mm. Yeah. Well, they all are. This
that's
could,
the problem. That's why it's confusing.
This game should be called, is it Bean or Larry?
True.
Is it really Larry or is Bean just channeling Larry?
I'm going to say that is real King.
I'm going to say that's real King as well.
I'm going to say that is too clever for real King and his addled brain. That's real Bean, so I say fake King.
Will Glenda be there?
Wow, yeah. Real.
Real
yeah.
King again.
I am swinging for the fences, man. And just
Allie, you're on fire today.
This is rare. So
all right, Kevin, you're up first this time. Real King, fake King. I've never mowed a lawn. I've never mowed a lawn.
I've never mowed a lawn. Hmm. He's been on TV and radio for like 70 years, right?
Right. Everybody mows lawns
I don't
radio
know, though.
And TV.
No, I'm saying.
But when
like,
he was a kid, there may not have been lawnmowers. Let's remember that.
True.
He's
have a
awfully
goat.
Old.
He had a goat that would eat his lawn.
He probably did.
Yeah. I am going to go with fake.
Larry's a kid of the streets, originally from Brooklyn, lived in major cities his whole life, apartments and whatnot. I think that's probably real King.
Wow. I think he had one of those mowers that you just push and then the grass would fly up.
Right.
He had a little patch of lawn to the side of his brownstone. Uh-huh. I will say fake.
Will Glenda
I mean
be
real.
Yeah.
It.
All right. Woo! On the board.
Ralph is on the board.
Here's the comeback. Three-pointers all day long from now on.
By the way, I think you actually did figure that one out and trace where Larry has lived in his life. And by the time he was old enough to have a big lawn, he was too rich to mow his own yard.
Yeah,
I think you're absolutely right there.
It's
well
Larry
done,
King CSI right there.
All right, what's the score here? Because we're almost out of time.
Kevin's
guys.
Got two, Ralph one. I am in the lead with three.
All right,
we could stop.
Let's do one more. Are there any babies being named Fred these days?
That's Bean.
Are there any babies being named Fred these days? Who's up first? Kevin, is it you?
I'm going to say real.
Kevin says real.
It's the kind of nonsense he would tweet about. It's ridiculous.
Boy, that feels real to me, too. I got to go real.
I'm going to say fake, just to be different.
Well, real.
Dude, so now do we have a tie? Yes, we do.
Between Kevin and I.
How about that?
Let's do another.
Jump ball.
Ringo Starr was the most underrated Beatle. Ringo Starr was the most underrated Beatle. I think you might be up first, Ralph.
I know Larry had a long relationship with the Beatles. Interviewed them when he was working in Miami. I think he loved Ringo. I think he had a strong connection with Ringo.
Okay.
So I'm saying Real King.
Although I feel that Ringo was extremely underrated.
Not the question.
Not about you, Allie.
Okay.
Not making it about you, okay?
I don't think that he would put that out there with Paul still being alive. So I say fake.
So he's going to hold on to that one until Paul dies?
Until he dies, he'll let it go and be like, suck it, Paul.
That is, that's real. That's real, Larry. I believe Allie McKay is our winner, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Real King Fake King. Actors Adam Scott and Jason Schwartzman in a movie that looks awesome called The Overnight. They'll be joining us in studio later this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Mondays meet our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone from the newsroom. Hey, Harvey. How are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good.
Doing great. By the way, I forgot to tell you this when we had you on last week, is I know you love the Bates Motel, as do I.
Oh, yeah.
And we had Freddie Highmore on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you're kidding.
Have you met him? Have you had a chance to have him by?
Oh. I don't meet anybody. I mean, we've gotten him out before.
The nicest kid, and I got to tell you, so impressive, so smart. Allie, how many languages did he tell us he spoke? Four or five, right?
Four, yeah.
Oh, you're
and
kidding.
He went to Oxford.
And he went to Oxford, yeah.
Yes.
Super smart and just the nicest guy and just so thoughtful. And he's such a young guy and he's so talented on top of it. And he's just had an amazing career already.
The two of them together, Vera and him, are unreal.
Yes, I agree. But anyway, super fascinating, and I wanted to tell you that it's nice when you meet somebody who's on a show you love, and then they turn out to be even cooler than you could have imagined. So, anyway, let's switch gears and find out what's hot on TMZ.com right now. We got an all music edition, three big stories involving musicians, none of whom we play. Who do you want to start with, Harvey?
I'm going to go with Chris Brown for the block.
Yeah, Chris Brown. Let me guess, he's feuding with someone.
He's feuding with Carucci, and this, I got to tell you, I'm fascinated by this. So Carucci starts doing some interviews last week, and she is talking a little bit about Chris, but she's doing it very obliquely. So Chris goes off yesterday and, of course, does it publicly on Instagram and just starts trashing her and just saying, what the blank are you doing talking about our personal life? If we're done, we're done, and I'm going to man up and I'm going to be a father to my kid, and that's just the way it is, and how dare you trash me, and he's just lacing obscenities in this. So she then goes on Instagram, of course, because none of this is ever private anymore.
Sure.
And she just goes wild on him. She says, you want to effing man up? She said, then you should be loyal. And you shouldn't break into somebody's car and break their windows and blow up their phones. And, you know, and it, I mean, it is unreal. I mean, what's amazing to me is that they are so determined to both of them to play it out publicly, and they are.
And what do you think that's about, Harvey? Do you think that's at least in Chris Brown's mind is that there's no such thing as bad publicity? I'm going to make headlines for this.
I think a big part of it is that. I think it's also it kind of dovetails into that, which is that it keeps them top of mind. You know, it's funny because, you know, everybody said Carucci's 15 minutes are going to be up when Chris Brown and her break up, but every time it starts to wane a little for her, Chris Brown does something and it elevates her, so she's the beneficiary of a lot of what Chris Brown is doing. So I think they both know it. They could be doing this privately, but they are so public about this breakup, it's crazy.
Chris Brown is consistent, though. At every turn, he is a douchebag.
He makes the wrong decisions.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know what? It's so funny because I was thinking about this yesterday when we were putting the story up. It's like, yet so talented.
Yeah.
He is.
He really is. He's one of those guys, and I know a lot of people have this category, somebody that I admire professionally but cannot enjoy his work because of how much I detest him personally. I can't enjoy Chris Brown records on the radio just because I hate him so much. You know?
I think he'd be way more popular today if he didn't do all this stuff, because I think a lot of people feel the way you do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to it's funny, you mentioned Chris Brown, and I thought of Michael Jackson, the way they dance and whatnot. Speaking of Michael Jackson, how about this 5 Seconds of Summer story? Wasn't that very reminiscent of that Pepsi commercial?
Oh, my God, that's exactly what I thought about. It was really amazing. So they're performing in London, and Michael Clifford is standing over this. He's standing over this, I guess, hole in the stage where fire is supposed to come up, and he was not supposed to be standing there, or I don't know what happened, but the fire just engulfs him and lights his hair on fire, just like the Pepsi commercial with Michael Jackson, and he is horribly burned. I mean, he actually kept performing some, but there were pictures of him yesterday just covered in bandages. I mean, his face was really badly burned. He performed last night.
With the bandages?
We're getting the video right now. We're going to put it up on the site.
That'd be pretty awesome.
I hope in the next 15 minutes. But, I mean, it was bad. And it's when you said Michael Jackson, I think everybody who sees this video, it's like, oh, my God, it's the Pepsi commercial.
Totally. And you know, there are a lot of acts that are using fire now more than ever on stage. And it is very important that you keep the choreography down tight on something like that, because there are places you just are not allowed to stand when you've got that kind of pyrotechnics. And it sounds like he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, unless something malfunctioned. I guess that's what we'll look into, right?
Yeah, no. And you know, who knows if that happened, but you're right. I mean, it is... It can be really dangerous, obviously, and it was for him. And we're processing this video right now, and I can't wait to see what he did, because he was in the hospital with these bandages, and this was not a minor burn.
No, and I'm sure you guys will be talking about it on the TV show today. But how much of a baller is Dave Grohl to come back and finish that show in Sweden?
Unbelievable!
You've never seen a guy break his leg and then come back out and keep singing, right? It's crazy.
Kept singing. Did you see our post last night?
We got
a picture of him.
Oh, with his cast, with all the people signed his cast already too. Yeah,
yeah, I think the headline was something like "I got totally plastered."
He's unbelievable. And one more real quick, while we're talking about stage mishaps, Luke Bryan is a name a lot of our audience might not know, but he is a stadium-filling country singer. He's one of the biggest names out there.
Honestly, I think he may be the biggest country singer out there.
And what happened to him?
So, I mean, it's funny because when that happened Friday night to him, and then the 5 Seconds of Summer was Saturday night, but when I saw this with Luke Bryan, when I saw the video, I thought, oh, God, something really bad happened. I thought it was the same kind of thing as 5 Seconds of Summer. But it turned out it was steam. He was standing over this hole where there was steam that came out, and he wasn't supposed to be there. Completely engulfs him. And at first, everybody's just, like, catching their breath. And he just came out of it, and he's smiling and laughing. But, yeah, there was a lot of crap coming out of the stage this weekend.
It's kind of like when Kanye was on the TV show, American Music Awards or whatever it was, a couple weeks ago. Remember, there was so much fog on the stage you couldn't even see him? That's what this Luke Bryan looks like. So.
Well, except this was more intense. I mean, this you really, like, hold your breath and you think, oh, God, what happened to
this? This sort of looked like it was done on purpose a little bit. It's just a destruction by fog.
Stop standing over holes. Maybe that's the first step.
That's a good tip.
Right? That's actually a good motto to live by.
I have said that for years, Harvey. Yeah.
TMZ and TMZ Live throughout the day at Fox Channel 11 and TMZ Hollywood Sports. Here's Friday nights at 10 on The Reels with a Z channel. Harvey, thanks for the time. Have a great week. We'll do it again.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
Besides Jurassic Park, which had the biggest worldwide opening in the history of motion pictures ever, Kevin, you saw another movie over the weekend that sounds fascinating to me called Deep Web.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. The movie wasn't great.
Really?
It's all about the internet and the part of the internet, which is a majority of it, that search engines do not reach.
Okay.
So basically, if you go online and you search for something, most of the internet is not available.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that on purpose. And there was a site called Silk Road, I believe,
yes,
where they were selling drugs of every kind. Just say heroin. Here's the cost.
Yep. Drugs, yeah. Weapons, passports, whatever you wanted, you could buy out
there.
It's
fascinating.
I need to give me some of that. First of all, I need to give me some Deep Web. Second of all, I need to see me this documentary, which is playing right now on the Epix channel, E-P-I-X. And it's kind of interesting that Alex Winter is the writer and director. He, Bill, of Bill and Ted, by the way. And who did he get to narrate this film about the dark web? But his old friend Keanu Reeves, who was Ted. Here's a little bit of that from the movie.
On January 13th, 2015... a criminal trial began for the accused leader of the Silk Road, a black market in an area of the internet known as the Deep Web.
He's not the most dynamic narrator in the world.
The Deep Web is vast, thousands of times larger than the visible internet, what's called the surface web. But the deep web is not a place.
Okay, I have to ask, if you're making a movie, even if you're friends with Keanu Reeves and can get Keanu Reeves, do you offer the job to Keanu Reeves?
I don't think I would.
What, is Morgan Freeman not available? I mean, how does that decision made? Well, let's find out. We have our old friend Keanu on the phone. Maybe he can tell us a little bit more about how this Bill and Ted off-screen reunion happened. Hi, Keanu. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Ah, yes.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. Right. How are you?
Very good.
Well,
thank
we're
you.
Fine. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. So you helped out your old friend Alex Winter by doing the narration on his new film called Deep Web. What can you tell us about it, sir?
The deep web is vast.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It is bigger than the surface web.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's not easily accessible to the average consumer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or is there?
Well, I mean, the whole movie is saying, yes, there is.
Ah, or is it?
So how do you feel your understanding of the deep web is? I mean, are you pretty well versed on the topic now as a result of
it? I pretty much am an expert now on the deep web.
Uh-huh.
And I must say, the deep web is vast.
It is.
And larger than the surface web.
Right. Actually, right. You mentioned that.
Maybe
excellent.
You're just... Oh, wow. There it is.
So this Silk Road, then, is this all closed down as a result of that dude being convicted?
The Silk Road, despite its name, was not made of silk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this guy that's known as the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yes.
Basically, this entire movie, they were looking for the guy that was supposedly running the site. Did you ever get a chance to meet him or?
The Dread Pirate Roberts was neither a pirate nor named Roberts. Ah, excellent.
Right, that was just a name he chose to use online to remain anonymous.
Yes, or was it?
Well, it was, yeah.
I feel like we know more about this movie than you do, Keanu, and you're the one who did the narration for it.
No.
No what?
No what?
No.
Just no?
Just no. I know much about the deep web.
Okay. Tell us anything.
It is vast.
It is vast. Mm-hmm.
Much larger than what you can see.
Right.
Known as the surfaced web.
Surfaced web, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I got that. What's it like?
Oh, excellent.
What's it like working with your old friend Alex Winter and little Bill and Ted hanging out together, huh?
Alex Winter and I performed previously in two films about two characters named Bill and Ted.
Right.
They're two guys.
Right.
Named Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted, right? No, we know that. That's why I'm asking, was it fun?
In a related story, neither Alex or myself are named Bill or Ted.
Right.
Much like the Dread Pirate Roberts was not named the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Right. We understand that you're actors and those are your characters' names.
Ah, or are we? Excellent.
I'm out.
No.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of comedy, joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Right,
first, though, Monday morning, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to show business news, how about going to see a little movie I like to call Ted 2?
Yay!
Because it's the second film about Ted. So I call it Ted 2.
It's also
I don't know what Universal Pictures is calling it or not. They probably have a different idea.
I believe it's Ted 2.
Probably Ted the Revenge or Revenge of Ted or Bride of Ted or something like that. Oh, I should have called it Bride of Ted.
Yeah, it's Ted 2.
Because, spoilers, Ted gets married in this film.
Right. Bride of Ted would have been accurate.
Bride of Ted.
Like it.
Ted 2 in theaters everywhere on June the 26th. Seth MacFarlane. Genius that he is, returns with all the wacky cast of characters you grew to know and love in the first film, except for John's dad won't be in this.
Oh.
The character of John's father does not return. Pretend everybody else comes back. John's father, Mark Wahlberg's father, not in Ted 2. So that may make you say, well, I'm not interested then without that character. But I say, no, it's still a great movie. You should go anyway.
I don't even remember without that character. Even without your 4 minutes?
Your 4 minutes?
I missed your 4 minutes in the first film, Bean. We're not.
Oh, that's right. You weren't in it.
I definitely was not.
Well, that's goddamn right.
I didn't even saw the first head, by the way.
Oh, you're such a bad person.
How could you not?
I just.
You're horrible.
I just didn't. I miss a lot of movies, guys. You know
right,
that.
Right, but you got to catch some that come along and go, that's in my wheelhouse.
Teddy Bear and cusses.
I didn't see that one. So I hear it's great.
All joking aside, this film is great. Ted 2 is great, and you will enjoy it. And we're doing a special K-Rock screening of Ted 2, June the 23rd, at the Pacific Theaters at the Grove. So you'll see it before your friends if you're one of the lucky callers. But I just want to give these away. These tickets are too precious. So here's a little Ted trivia for you. First film, of course, that Bean didn't see because he's a loser, was hilarious. At one point, it was the highest rated R-rated comedy, highest grossing R-rated comedy of all time. The film is narrated by a very memorable voice. What actor narrates the film Ted? If you know the answer.
I don't know.
Kevin doesn't know, but if you know the answer, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with the correct answer. Win a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Ted 2.
I don't know.
And not to give too much away, but because Seth is a sweetheart and a nice guy and a good friend, he found a way to get me into Ted 2.
Oh, really?
But I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to look for me. You're going to have to try to find me in Ted 2. It's a little game we can play. It's like Where's Waldo?
Wait, so
find
you are.
So that means, maybe his voice is. Is that possible?
John, the character of John's father, who I played in the first Ted, won't be recurring in this film. But however, I do appear in the film.
It's Bobby!
I appear in my physical form,
you
Kevin.
Do? Okay. On screen.
So why don't you pipe down with your madness, with your insanity. I don't need that on a Monday, your craziness. Don't even know what I'm talking about.
I don't either.
Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, because it is Monday morning. Jurassic World crushed it. Pulled in $204.6 million in North America this past weekend, which was just behind The Avengers, which pulled in a little over $2,007 million when it debuted. So not quite the biggest opening
weekend. You mean 207? Weekend.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Not quite the biggest opening weekend ever, but pretty close. However, it is the biggest global debut of a film of all time. Internationally, plus North America, $511.8 million.
In one weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
That just made it. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
So this is on track to end up probably in the top 10 biggest movies of all time.
Yes, it is.
I bet.
It is on track for that. It's the first time a movie has ever grossed more than $500 million in a single weekend. And Variety says people should just call dinosaurs the original superheroes. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that, Variety. The second biggest moneymaker at the box office this weekend was Spy with $16 million. Then San Andreas, Insidious Chapter 3, and Pitch Perfect 2 were the top five moneymakers. Entourage, Mad Max, Fury Road, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Tomorrowland, and, Love and Mercy at number 10 this weekend. It happened on Friday night, so I don't know if you had a chance to see the footage or not, but Dave Grohl once again proved that he is the greatest rock star in history.
He's really the man.
Over the weekend. He is beyond the man.
Yeah.
He is rock and roll personified. The guy's in the second song of his set playing there in Gothenburg, Sweden. Second song falls off the stage. Bean has made this a very fashionable thing, by the way.
Everybody's copying
the
Edge
Bean. And Dave now. Just, I want to be like Bean. They just fall off the stage.
I do not recommend anyone following in my footsteps, by the way.
Well, while Bean was fine and cried like a woman, Dave Grohl snapped his leg in half and said, I can't go on. I can't go on. Dave asked Taylor to continue on with the show, and Taylor did. Played some cover songs, entertained the crowd, and everyone thought the show was over because Dave himself said, I'm going to go to the hospital now because I think I just broke my leg. I think I really seriously broke my leg. And he did seriously break it. Like, you see the x-ray that they tweeted out after the show. It's seriously broken.
It's funny, a little bit funny, in that when he made the announcement, everybody was sort of laughed. Like, they didn't know.
No,
really.
But he was making it from his back on the ground with the microphone while medics were attending to him. But Dave, once they got him backstage, said, "You know what? Why don't you just wrap this up? Just put a Band-Aid on me, on my snapped leg,
right?
And wheel me back out on stage." And he went out on stage, propped his leg up. He said, "I can't run, I can't walk, but I can still sit and scream," and continued the concert and played the rest of the show. Because he is the man.
He is the man.
He is rock and roll. The broken leg!
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I mean, really, really unbelievable. I wouldn't...
All right, can you believe it?
I wouldn't read a book if I had just broken my leg. I would just be...
No, of course you
would. Hurting.
That's where he went, reading a book.
Look. I'm just thinking of the most low-energy thing that you can't focus on because of how much it hurts, yet he's out there performing in front of 90,000 people or whatever it was. He's just remarkable.
Well, once the adrenaline wore off, however, I think Dave said, "Ow!" And then he did have to cancel the next two shows. But they may be back on stage for New York in July. I believe the next show after that is coming up. So we're thinking he'll be okay, but they did have to cancel two shows because if you look again at that x-ray, it is... effed up. It's fully snapped, broken, like just in going in different directions. Should not be how a leg works at all.
Not a fracture.
No. That's what I'm trying to say. This is not a bruise.
Right. He broke his leg.
He broke his leg.
Right.
Broke it.
But you led with that.
Oh, that's right.
At the beginning of the story.
Good point. Good thing I didn't bury the lead. Do we have a winner to my trivia question?
We do.
About Ted? I think John from Whittier was the first one through. John?
Yes, sir.
What a legendary actor narrates Ted?
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart, that's right. He also returns as the narrator for Ted 2. Congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see our special K-Rock screening of Ted 2. Congratulations also to Kevin and Nicole and Danilo and Devin. They are all going to see Ted, too.
You guys think Kevin is really Line 2's name, or do you think that's some of Beer Mug's good work?
Mugs or Dave?
You think it's Gavin, maybe?
I'm wondering. I'm
Calvin?
Just wondering.
Could be Calvin?
Could be Calvin. Could be Gavin. Is it likely that it's Kevin, though?
Let's do a little research,
maybe Kevin,
shall we?
Even.
Shall we look? Oh, maybe
might
even
be
Kevin.
A Kevin. See, I was thinking Kevin, but the King of Mexico. You know how he Cavin. Has all the bells.
Oh, Kevin. Kevin, you're a winner. Kevin.
Kevin, what is your name?
Hey, Kevin.
It's Kevin.
Spell it.
C-A-V-A-N.
C-A-V-A-N.
They did spell it wrong, but they got it fundamentally correct. Why, what kind of name is Kevin besides not a name?
Tell people.
Would you mind changing it?
No, I love it. I love it.
Okay, all right.
What is the derivation of Kevin?
It's Gaelic. It's an Irish county.
Kevin.
Yeah, okay.
County Kevin. All right, well done, sir.
That's legit, then. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Hang on for your Ted 2 tickets.
Bean has said your name's legit. You get to keep it.
Bean has ruled.
Well, I mean,
it's
if
our
that's
new segment, Bean rules on your name.
Name court.
If that's his heritage and they named it after a county in Ireland, I think that's a legitimate name. It's just
Bean
not a word we are familiar with.
Name cop.
I don't know.
It's going to be on the CW this summer. I can't wait to see it. If you have a weird name, call in and Bean will let you know whether you can use it or not. You might have to change it if Bean Baxter, name cop.
Yeah, because when he rules...
It's with
legally
an
binding
iron dildo,
and then I should get to hand out
sorry,
a new
what?
Name.
I'm sorry, what
I heard that. Yeah, I should get to hand out a new name to the person if I reject his name.
I agree.
Right?
Yes, Bean names
I like
you.
I like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jim Belushi, 61 years old today.
Oh, the talented Belushi.
Yes, the
he
good
was the
one.
Good one.
Oh, glad he's still around. And John is no more. Helen Hunt.
Yes,
she's celebrating a birthday today.
Academy Award-winning actress,
52. Courtney Cox.
So we were a bell on Miss Cox?
Hell,
absolutely.
I think Hells, I would be,
yeah.
All right.
She's 51. Ice Cube is 46. Actress Leah Remini is 45 years old today. I'm a bell on Leah Remini, too. Although Kevin thinks her lips exploded. I don't know what he's talking
about.
Who
he's
about.
Thinking of.
I don't either, but something happened. Neil Patrick Harris is 42. Imagine Dragons guitarist Wayne Sermon is 31. And comedian Taylor Williamson, our buddy Taylor.
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 He's 29 today. He's 29? Wow. Bad looking 29. I'm just saying.
Is that a rough life?
He just looks like he's more mature than that. He looks like he's got some extra miles on him.
I think it's the cardigans.
You think it's the cardigans? It gives him an elder statesman sort of vibe? That could be it. I'm kidding. I love you, buddy. Happy birthday, Taylor. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Latest from Beck on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:09. That is called Dreams.
What? Beck woke up. What happened? He strapped on an electric guitar and spoke above a whisper?
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
It's amazing.
It's a different kind of Beck song for
you. I'm saying it's been a while. Yeah. Hasn't been a while since we've heard Beck almost kind of sort of a little bit rock out. I like that.
All right.
Bean likes it. Everybody make a note.
Bean Baxter, music cop.
Yeah. The Pitbull of comedy, Bobby Slayton, joins us in minutes. And then the great Adam Scott and Jason Schwartzman will be here talking about their new film called The Overnight in the 8 o'clock hour. That should be a lot of fun. I love both of those guys. That's almost too much awesomeness for one room at one time. Where are we sending Allie for breakfast, by the way? Have we decided where she has to go?
Just away from here.
How dare you?
Well, she have a...
Well, what woman doesn't have a crush on one or both of those guys?
Yeah,
come on.
So. Right.
All right. What are we... what's the complaint now, guys?
We're just...
What now?
How, we just...
What's your...
But we...
Who?
And you...
When did you...
There is... Why is... Could you...
Right. Somebody... Words, sentence, explain, please.
Bean has a complicated relationship with chocolate milk.
With the planet Earth, first of all. And then secondarily with chocolate milk.
Planet Earth and its inhabitants, first of all, I've got troubles with.
It is a... A source of great anxiety and sadness and joy. It's everything. It's all
okay.
Things to all people.
All right. You're right. I think both of you guys are right. I do have a complicated relationship with chocolate milk. It is not something that I take for granted. It's something that
That goes without saying, since you have a secret hidden refrigerator solely used to keep it away from your wife.
First of all, yes. Bean... hides chocolate milk from the only other person in his house who is his wife.
Right.
Hides it from her.
Who doesn't really drink chocolate milk that much either, by the way. Not really that interested in chocolate milk.
And even if she knew where it was, so you put it way up high where she can't get to it.
You think your secret fridge may be a bit of overkill considering she doesn't really drink chocolate milk?
Look, I tried to explain this to you guys last year. There are times where you're just in the mood for a certain food or drink. And when you are in that state of mind, you want it to be available to you. The last thing you want is to open up the fridge going, you know what? I'm really set for some chocolate. And then you open up the fridge, wah, 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 because somebody has drank. You
worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, you have that urge and then you go in the fridge and there isn't chocolate milk. Then what happens?
Well, then you don't have any chocolate milk.
Right.
And you collapse on the floor.
You're sad.
You're sad.
The building starts to shake.
Oh,
and then
the world is spinning.
That's when you get smote.
And you're sad. And your whole day is ruined.
No,
your whole,
really?
No, it's not.
Oh, I'll drink some Sunny D instead.
That's what happens is you just pick something else and drink it.
And then you just move on.
Your world goes up in a puff of smoke. All right, so that was thing one. And then thing two is recently in my ever-evolving relationship with chocolate milk, I tried something new. And I really do think I may
have...
Let
me back up before you get to something new. There was also the, if you add chocolate milk to regular milk...
That had gone bad.
Then you can drink it past the point where it's bad.
You can drink sour milk if you put chocolate into it.
That's right.
It rehabilitates the bad milk.
No, Alec...
And makes it palatable to choke down.
Allie, we're not arguing that point. We're saying this is reality for Bean.
This happened. If the milk has just gone bad, Allie says, if it's just slightly turned, if you mask that flavor with chocolate by putting chocolate in, then you can drink the milk.
And that's drinking bad milk.
Because, as you know, Bean lives in a box and has to eat and drink expired, old, rotted food.
But it's like duct tape, you know, has a million uses. Chocolate milk, there are times where chocolate milk comes in handy to save otherwise spoiled milk. I'm saying, that's another relationship.
Right, but you're
that
just saying that like it's normal, and we're saying,
hey, some people would not drink spoiled milk at all, regardless of whatever flavoring we put in it.
You can't taste the spoiled part of the milk if you put chocolate milk in it. I'm just saying.
By definition, spoiled means that milk is no longer good to drink.
Yeah, is there a shortage of milk up there? I mean, can't you just get more milk?
Well, yeah, of course you can.
Bean lives like Ebenezer Scrooge. He just lights one candle at night and just warms his hands by it. And it's just sipping a bowl of sour milk with chocolate in it to save a dime. What's going on?
Is this a factor of you being the cheapest man alive?
I'm not a cheap person.
I wasn't asking that. I'm saying you're a cheap person. Do you think that explains this?
I don't think you want to throw out a half a gallon of just barely spoiled milk. If you don't have
I believe
to.
That's a decision that all of us would pretty much make.
All right, so before we run out of time.
So we got all that.
So we got all that.
Now we've discovered a new fact with Bean and chocolate milk.
I tried something the other day, and I don't remember exactly how it happened. I guess I do. I was drinking a glass of water, and I had ice left in the glass, and I didn't want to waste that ice.
No, so
I
thought, how are you going to replenish
you
that?
You can't get more ice. I know that.
So I thought, you know what? I'm now in the mood for some delicious chocolate milk.
I haven't had enough fluids yet.
Why don't?
But what do I do with the ice?
Exactly.
What if it melts?
Oh, can you imagine the conundrum this must have presented for being there in the lab?
And then I've only got the one glass, so now what do I do with
the
ice?
You can't wash it because that means money spent on detergent.
And water.
Oh, my goodness.
So what I decided to do was pour the chocolate milk into the glass of ice. All right? You following? You with me?
Yeah, that's not difficult.
Yes. Not
we're following. It was phenomenal. It was a sensation unlike any other that I've ever experienced.
Hold on, right there.
I felt like my world went from black and white to color, and I thought, this is what I've been missing is chocolate milk in ice. Are you kidding me?
But you drink chocolate milk cold, right?
Yes,
I do. So this was a little colder.
It was a little colder, yeah.
And some watered down.
Well, I know that's the obvious early criticism on my plan, and I heard a lot from people online about that. But the truth is, it's not like it's sitting around and the ice cubes are melting. It's not like you're leaving it out in the sun and coming back in
so
an hour.
So you chuck it, you put it over ice, and you go,
drink it fast! No, drink it fast!
I think you drink it at a reasonable rate.
Okay,
good. Here's the best part ever. And by the way, Kevin, you of all people should appreciate this, because how many times have you said that one of the things you love about Cocoa Puffs is once you're done with the cereal, you have chocolate milk left in your bowl, right? The leftover from the Cocoa Puffs makes chocolate milk.
You know what he doesn't do with that chocolate milk? Add ice to it.
But in my new taste treat, once you're done with the chocolate milk, then you've got all of these little ice cubes that are covered in chocolate milk. They're like little chocolate treats left at the bottom of your cup.
Oh,
and now
sweet.
It's almost like dessert on top of your chocolate milk. Oh, my God, it's great.
It's not dessert at all. It's ice. You're just eating ice.
Covered with chocolate, though.
But it's not covered. It's not like it's permeating the
ice. Yeah, but it is. It's in little pockets and everything like that. There's a little chocolate taste in every ice cube that's left after you're done with the chocolate milk. I'm telling you guys, don't knock it till you've tried it. It's great. And the fact that the chocolate milk is actually colder than it is when you take it out of the fridge makes it even better. I really felt like I stumbled onto something. I got to figure out a way to market this or patent this or do something to this, because this is
a gold mine. You're going to try to patent ice in a beverage?
Bean?
Is that your goal?
I'm about to blow your mind.
Uh-oh. Here comes She Bean. She's got something.
Yeah.
What I do with iced coffee, I freeze coffee in the ice cubes. Therefore, it's never watered down. Why don't you freeze chocolate milk cubes?
So you get an ice tray and you fill it up with your beverage and you freeze that and use that as ice.
Yep.
So that actually would be a chocolate treat. That would be a frozen chocolate treat. That would actually be it instead of the watery crap ice milk that you eat after your cup is over.
I'm trying to process that. Would that work? How tough would it be to freeze milk?
What?
What's happening?
Well, milk is a lot thicker. And it's got to be harder to freeze than water, right?
What?
Can you freeze milk?
What is going on?
Like, I'm no scientist here, you guys.
Yeah, we are. No, what you do when you freeze stuff is you put it in the ice tray and put it in the freezer.
And then it gets hard.
That's not a bad idea,
Allie. It becomes a solid.
You're welcome.
I feel like we're making some progress here. That's not a bad idea at all. I'll try that.
I feel like Bean's an alien. He just landed on this planet. He's like, hey, this thing is awesome. And we all go, what are you talking about?
You're Starman. You're Starman. Jeff Bridges was like, I do not know the ways of your world. How can you not know that if you put milk in a freezer, it'll freeze?
I just never thought about it before. That's all.
But you have to make it as chocolate milk, then freeze that. That way you have that frozen treat of chocolate milk.
I'm with you. It just gets better and better, you guys. We live in a great, great time in history.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Here's everything you need to know about the Pitbull of Comedy, our friend Bobby Slayton, in one sentence. He brought us bagels this morning, but saved the receipt so he can write them off as a business expense on his taxes. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's my introduction. Thank you, Bean.
Very smart, Bobby. Very smart.
Of course.
We win and you win, sir.
By the way, you know, I tweeted that I was going to be on the show this morning. Mm-hmm. And I could be the only person that in the next 6 months will have negative Twitter followers. Every time I tweet something, I lose more people. So I tweeted I was coming on your show. I was going to come on my show and plug my Irvine Improv gig this week. And I lost 3 followers when I tweeted I was going to be on your show.
Yeah, it's not always a positive.
Well, I go on Ryan Seacrest, I lose 12. And Big Boy, I lose about 50. So it's fun. You guys are actually at the top. You know, so everything's going fine. By the way, yes, the Irvine Improv this week, which usually being you give me my introduction where I'm going to be playing. Father's Day weekend. You know, the last time I was here, played a club in L.A., because I don't play L.A. that often. You know, I've played a club in L.A., and I was, the week after, it was Valentine's Day. Clubs will never book me on Valentine's Day.
Really? I can't understand why.
I don't know either.
Romantic.
They will never book me on Mother's Day, but I figured Father's Day weekend is a perfect time to, by the way, and I think I've said this on your show before, it's amazing to me when Mother's Day comes up, it's really not about your mother, it's about your wife. I mean, Mother's Day, if your mom is still alive, you send her flowers, you take her out for brunch, and you hope you're still in the will. But basically, every jewelry store, every car dealership, everybody's got a sale, because isn't your wife special? Aren't women the best? Why don't you get her a car? Why don't you get her jewelry? Look around and see who's having a sale for Father's Day. Lowe's and Home Depot. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much, you know, I mean, if you go to Macy's, I'll be able to sign by the socks, you know, it's Father's Day. But it's basically Home Depot. Get down a ladder. Maybe the gutters need cleaning. Why don't you buy him a tool belt? He can finally fix that squeaky basement door. You know, and what's the big Father's Day gift? Let's get down a barbecue grill so we can sit in that hot June sun having a stroke, cooking for you while you're sitting inside on your fat ass waiting for food with the air conditioning he bought you for Mother's Day.
You do sound like you're excited about Father's Day.
And let's get down a necktie so he can hang himself after doing all this stuff for his ungrateful family. Yeah, it's great. But that's
I don't think guys are into presents in general. I could be wrong about this, but it seems like most whether it's anniversaries or Valentine's Day or Father's Day versus Mother's Day, I don't think guys are as into presents as girls are.
It was my birthday 2 weeks ago, and this was a tough one. I know your listeners are, you know, in high school, but I turned 60 about 2 weeks ago. 60 years. I know. Look at me. I look like I'm 80.
You look fantastic for 60.
Wow. You okay?
You know what? You see, he would have just said, you look fantastic for 60. You know, people say to me now, hey, you know, you really look good. You know, that's when you know you're old, when people say, hey, you look good. You don't hear that. You don't hear that in college. What are you, 17? 18? I mean, you're 23. You don't look 23. You hear it when you're old. And by the way, turning 60 wasn't that bad because, you know, I kind of prepared myself months in advance. Women don't do that.
By being 59?
No, yeah, when I'm 59, people would say, how old are you? I go, I'm 60. And my wife would go, you're not 60 for another 2 months. Now, conversely, my wife turned 60. But the day before she was 60, I said, you know, you're 60. I'm not 60 till tomorrow. And then in the morning, she woke up. I'm not making this up. I said, happy birthday. She said, it's not my birthday till 9 o'clock tonight. She was going by her birth certificate. She was not 60.
By the minute.
To the last possible minute. You know. Her crotch is 60. That bothers me more than she's 60.
All right.
She
wanted
that.
You can say that on the radio.
Sure, yeah.
Not on Ryan Seacrest or Big Boy, but here on K-Rock, you can say whatever you want.
Bobby, if you were a single man, how do you think you would do in the dating world of 2015?
Can I answer that?
If I was a
yeah, you're a single man. Like, yeah. What would your play be?
If I was a single man,
wow,
keep
so
that Jew
Jewish
theme going.
That was good.
If I was a single man right now,
yes. Yeah. How do you think you'd do?
But am I my age now? Am I 60?
Yeah, okay. You're you, but you know your wife wises up, she moves out, and now you're alone. What do you do?
Well, first of all, this is
Do you date again, or are you over it?
Okay, this is why I take care of myself, because I'm 60, and I want to work out, I want to look good, because if my wife does die, I want to have strength at the funeral to try to nail some of her friends. I don't want to be this old shriveled up guy. So I stay in shape for situations like that.
Just in case that exact thing happens.
Here's my problem.
Does your wife have hot friends?
Yes, she does.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, she does have hot friends. A lot of
Who's the hottest? Which one of your wife's friends is the hottest?
You know, I don't want to say it because she might be listening. Yeah. She doesn't have that many friends. She has like one friend. So my wife must know who I'm talking about. You know, matter of fact, years ago, my wife said to me, you know, you fantasize about my friend. You know, I won't mention her name. We'll say Susan. And I go, well, I fantasized about her. And my wife is making up the scenario, you know, having a couple of drinks. And she goes, so, like, you would like to do a menage a trois, which I know my wife would never do. And I'd probably never do either. And I said to her, she goes, well, you can tell me about your fantasies. And I said, okay. I said, you won't get mad. She goes, no. I go, well, it's you, me, and your friend. And I'm having sex with her. And when we're done, you come in and you make us a sandwich. And then she got mad. I slept on the couch.
She said she wasn't going to get mad.
That's what women say.
What?
You know? It's like Lenny Bruce's old bit. Lie, deny, deny, deny. Because you can't tell them the truth. They can't handle the truth. But here's a problem. If I was dating now, now that I found internet porn and I can have my local pizza place delivered to my house, I don't know. Much like the Unabomber calmer, with better music, I would stay home with a bottle of wine, and I would never leave my cabin. There's no
understood. Why leave? I'm with you, buddy. I'm right there with you.
How about women?
And when I look at all these actors my age, whether it's a Clooney or a Jack Nicholson, or you look at some of these older guys in their 50s and 60s, and you'll see them with a young girlfriend. It's really great. But when you mention Bob Dylan or the Beatles, and they go, you know, they don't know who these people are, it would kind of drive me up a wall. You know,
so you're saying a girlfriend might make you angry in some way?
Well, they're all doing their own spectral way. They're all different. Okay. You know, every one of them is different. But just talking to them. It's hard enough talking to my wife. And then now I got to talk to some broad that doesn't know anything about anything. And, you know,
your wife technically sort of has to talk to you.
Well, she kind of has to. Well, you know what we do every night? We actually eat dinner. And somebody just said this is very healthy. You know, you eat dinner and you watch television with dinner and you don't really talk a lot. A lot of people.
Who said that was healthy? You? Bean?
First of all, there was a thing yesterday. Bean, you're not doing anything up there besides, you know, whatever. Go Google it. Google the fact. It was in the news yesterday. There was a story about the healthiest relationships are when families just sit and watch television together. That way you don't have fights.
I would make up that story too.
I'm paraphrasing the story. That's the way I saw the story. It might not have come out exactly like that. But my wife, we watch TV every night. We have dinner. You know, last night we were watching America's Got Talent. You know, we taped that. It's one of my guilty pleasures. And it's hard for me to watch it because that Heidi Klum, you can't.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous, right?
Yeah, she's a good deal.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, you know, my wife says to me last night, we're watching the show, and she said, you ever see her without makeup? I said, no, I've seen you without makeup. How much worse can she be than you without makeup?
And again, Bobby always has the right thing to say,
yes,
does he?
That's Mr. Romance. That's how he stayed married for 27 years, Bean.
Irvine Improv this week, 6 big shows, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Go see the great Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, improv.com. By the way, tickets are just $17. How can you afford to miss that?
Absolutely.
We'll be right back with more with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, appearing this week at the Irvine Improv. 6 big shows, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, improv.com. As you mentioned, Bobby, you don't play Southern California all that often. So this is a good opportunity for your fans to come see you.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, you mentioned before, Bean, about how guys don't like to get gifts. I don't like to get gifts. I don't really.
You aggressively don't want them?
No, because you know what? I know. I just feel I like giving gifts.
Right.
I like to give people stuff. But then when I get stuff, because a lot of times if it's something good, like my wife will always get me something, but it'll be something I don't really need or want. You know, my birthday is 60. I said, you know, we have a Blu-ray player, but we don't have one in the bedroom. I just haven't bothered to get one. They're not expensive.
Right.
My wife says to me, well, I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. That's your department. And I said, well, you know, you can get me something as silly as a really cool iPhone case. And she said, well, you know, the phones and stereos and everything. This is, I don't know.
Too difficult.
But it's always, I want to get you something you would never buy for yourself. And that's a woman's thinking. But if I wouldn't buy it for myself, what do I want it for? Why would you buy me something? It doesn't make any sense. And by the way, my wife, she doesn't work. I mean, and then so she bought me a present. She bought me this beautiful jacket, but with my money. You know, it's almost
so
like.
So now you're bitter?
No.
How much did you spend on my jacket?
No, but she does all the books, so it's not like she doesn't, you know.
Bobby seems difficult to please to me, Kevin.
You think?
Bobby seems like a can't-win situation if you're married to him.
By the way, during the break, I just remembered. My wife never listens to the show. She's never up, and she had a dental appointment this morning. So she said, I'll be listening to you.
Aww.
And Kevin and me. And I'm sitting here in my head trying to backtrack about the Heidi Klum joke. Thank God I didn't mention her vaginal rejuvenation because that she wanted to get that. And I said, you know, here's the great thing about my wife, okay? She looks beautiful, and, you know, she wanted an eye tuck at one time, which she's going to do. It's not one of these Hollywood women. When they're 35 years old, you know, the Meg Ryans and the, you know, but they're actresses. So they get these faces that look like Joan Rivers and they do when they're 40.
Right.
You know, so my wife said, well, you know, look, what about vaginal rejuvenation? And I said, look, I don't know if insurance covers that. Let me look at how much it costs. And then I said to her, I think what you have down there is more of a teardown. I think the beams are rotted. I think the thing's haunted. We need to bring in pest control. We need to bring in, do some studies on that. And I think we need to tear
it
down.
See if it's structurally sound?
Yes, I think it's haunted. I think it was built on an Indian graveyard. It's a poltergeist. I think we got to. And then I slept on the couch again.
Bobby.
I hope she's in the shower now.
Oh, no.
I have to drive around for a couple hours, so I'm sure she's at the dentist. I'm screwed. This will not be a good Father's Day. I will not be getting a gift this Sunday.
Yeah.
What's her number one complaint about you, Bobby?
Number one?
Yeah.
You know, she said to me the other
day, you're not away from home often enough, is my guess. No, Why don't you hit the road more, Bobby?
You know what it is? She said to me the other day, you know, you don't listen to me, you don't pay attention to me. I mean, I think it was her. Somebody said it. Somebody in passing. It must have been my wife. She walked by me in the kitchen. I was just pouring some wine. There's something about not paying attention. I don't know what she said. I wasn't listening.
But does she get up? Does she ever see you at stand-up?
Yes.
Did she ever come to your show?
The first time she saw me, well, you know, when I met my wife, and this, I don't want to say this on your show.
Was she a fan of your comedy?
I was playing the Ice House in Pasadena 30 years ago, and I met her, some friends. She'd just broken up with somebody, and, you know, and a friend brought her to my show, and I saw her, and I knew I was going to marry her. I knew I was going to marry her.
Instantly.
I had a buddy of mine from San Francisco sleeping on my couch. He was an actor. And I came home that night, and I said, Joe, I met the woman. I'm going to marry her. I know this sounds crazy. I'm not a romantic kind of guy. And he said, that's just great. And he enabled me. I've never talked to that guy again. He was an enabler instead of trying to help me.
You should have blocked that.
Yeah, and he didn't. But you know what? I knew I was going to marry her. She saw my show, but here's the funny thing. At the time she saw my show, I had all these jokes about psycho women and crazy women because my last girlfriend was a lunatic, like they all are. So, you know, she didn't think any of the jokes were about her. And as we're living together and then we get married, you know, I keep talking about my wife, but a lot of those jokes were about my ex-girlfriend. And then she eased her way into her own psycho place in my life where all the jokes started to become around about her. But then, you know, she knows I pay for the house and everything, so, you know.
So she's good with it?
No. But
okay, it's all right.
She was until she was up this morning probably listening to the show, and now I'm screwed. Right. No, she's come to the show, and my God, it's, you know what, it's like having sex in front of your parents. We all do it, but it's uncomfortable.
In front of your parents?
You don't want to do it too. Yeah, it's not even really like, no.
Can't really get into it at that point.
No, but it's like, she'll come to my show, but it's more like having sex in front of your dog. I don't know. Some people don't mind. Some people, you know.
Bobby, where are you in show business these days? Are you doing any TV shows or movies or voiceover work or anything like that? Or is that all dried up?
Ralph has a great career compared to me. He has a great movie career.
Ralph does have a good movie career, by the way.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's how much my career. I think the last movie I did was Dreamgirls. I think I was the only white guy in that movie with a speaking line in Dreamgirls.
Wow.
You know, every movie I've done been very small parts, but they're very important parts.
What was your line in Dreamgirls?
There was a guy that played Dick Clark, a white guy. I don't think he talked. I was the only guy that talked. They didn't have to sing, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the guy, when Eddie Murphy came on stage, I said, I was the MC. And I go, keep going for this next colored guy. You know, these Negroes today, they can sing and dance and mop up after. It was from the 1960s.
Wow.
So it was like a Don Rickles type character, you know. Which, by the way, I was in Baltimore last week. This is what's great about being home in California. You know, everybody complains about, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. We have the traffic, you have the smog, the lousy schools, illegal immigration, no water. But you know what? You go to a place like Baltimore, I was playing a comedy club last weekend, and I get there, and they said to me, Bobby, do you know what's going on here? Well, of course I know what's going on. People think that if you live in California, it's like when the OJ trial was going on, people would call me up and go, so what's going on with OJ? I go, well, you watch this. Yeah,
it's on TV.
You live in LA. Like, we get special OJ news. Like, we get stuff. Don't let this out of California. This is not for the rest of the country to know. We get, because we live near OJ. So I said, of course I know what's going on in Baltimore. And they said, the comedy club owner said, we're not going to censor a comic. It's the last bastion of free speech. You get on that stage, say whatever you want. But keep in mind, we have a lot of problems in Baltimore, a lot of racial strife. And I got up on stage and I did racial jokes and I did, you know, all that stuff. And it worked. And what does that show you? Nobody likes black people. No, what it shows? No. I'm kidding. Hey, that's a Don Rickles in me, huh? The colored people today. No, what it shows you is that comedy club, you can, you know, radio.
That comedy club has bad judgment, is what that shows me.
Yeah, no, but it says that you can still get out there and you can still laugh at all the problems we have. And that's what my show is all about. What a way to bring this to a close,
right? Exactly.
Well, you come to it for Father's Day weekend, whether you love your father or hate your father, my show is a perfect Father's
Day. Either way,
gift.
It works.
Exactly.
All right.
Bobby is one of the best doing stand-up today, and you definitely ought to check him out. Irvine Improv, 6 big shows this week starting Thursday night, then 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and then the cleanup show is going to be Sunday, which actually is Father's Day, right?
Yes.
That's the Sunday night show. Tickets available at improv.com, just $17 to see the great Pitbull of comedy. Well, listen, I hope your stuff's not all out on the front lawn when you get home today, Bobby. And you guys stay merry, and you'll come see us again, all right?
Of course, thanks.
Didn't know the mics were live, or I wouldn't have done that into the mic. Professional, baby.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin DeBeach Show at 7:53.
What about Adam Scott, and what about Jason Schwartzman?
They are in the hizzy, as
right.
the kids say.
Joining us
both
coming up
in the hizzy.
Right after 8 o'clock, talking about their new movie that looks awesome called The Overnight. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
I am genuinely excited about that film.
Me
it
too.
Looks like my kind of thing, which is...
hilarious and also deeply disturbing and makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, super
just from
awkward,
the trailer, but... I'm very uncomfortable, which just makes me laugh harder.
Same.
Look, but that looks like the kind of party that you would have been down with, Ralph.
I do relate to the Schwartzman character just a little bit, I yeah. think. I gotta say. The guy, first naked guy in the pool, you know, the guy who's kind of pushing the envelope a little bit at the party.
Exactly, yeah. But there are a lot of people when the party starts to get a little weird, it would be like, oh, I'm out. I'm going home. Not everybody's along for the ride.
Well, that's why you need people.
To get the party started.
To push that envelope to introduce you to new worlds.
Yep.
That's all exactly. I'm saying. We need explorers.
I like Bean's rules, though, is that when a party gets a little out of control, he's gone.
I say have another cocktail. That's when
he's
I say
out.
Right. You know, all those parties Bean goes to, once they start getting a little weird, he really takes off. He does not stick around. Oh, wait a minute. There's no danger of that because he never gets there.
Bean has a lot of theories on stuff, I think, based on TV shows and movies that he's seen.
If I was ever at a party, I think this is how I would react. Well, I say we need more trailblazers, less path followers.
Okay.
Who's with me?
Boom.
Right?
Yep.
Preach. All right. Let's talk about show business news. Speaking of movies, Jurassic World did pretty well for itself this weekend. And by pretty well, I mean it made more money than any other movie ever has in the history of movies.
Yeah!
So that's good.
For an opening weekend. Around the world, it grossed $511 million.
In 3 days.
Yeah. In its opening weekend. 207 of that was here in North America. So it's okay. I think people will be celebrating over there at Universal today.
So is our takeaway make Chris Pratt Indiana Jones just do it already?
I certainly think he could pull it off if anybody could. I mean, I'm not a fan of rebooting those films, but if you had to, I think he'd probably be the only guy who could do it.
He'd be great. I think he'd be great.
Except maybe Adam Scott or Jason Schwartzman. I think they would both be good since they're in the other room and kind of staring a hole in the back of my head. What about me? I don't get a call from Spielberg?
Well, Ralph, you have often said that Jason Schwartzman is Indiana Jones.
To me, he's my
When you look at him, my God, how could he not be Indiana Jones?
By the way, you should see the beard he's rocking.
Yeah, it's impressive.
That is a significant beard. That
more
is a,
beard than face.
That's a dense beard of happiness.
More beard
right there.
Than face.
It's all hair. There's hair on top and all beard and no face.
Does he have a new Hasidic comedy coming out? What's going on with him?
Not quite sure, but I'm pretty sure there's a starling nested in him. Spy was second at the box office with $16 million. San Andreas, Insidious, Chapter 3, Pitch Perfect 2 were the top five movies at the box office. Entourage, Mad Max Fury Road, Avengers Age of Ultron, Tomorrowland, and Love and Mercy. Those are your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. Kim Kardashian. Finally, NPR sat down with Kim Kardashian and got the interview we were all looking for. That's what you turn to NPR for. You want to get an in-depth Kim Kardashian interview.
I can't believe they had her on.
I can't either.
For any reason.
We have lost the battle, I think. I think NPR was the last hill in the war. And now that that hill has been taken, I think the war is over. And we
porn
lost.
Star Kim Kardashian.
We lost, and the porn star Kim Kardashian has won.
She's got the high ground.
And we're done.
What
we're
are
finished.
We going to do?
We lost. As a society, we are circling the drain. All you can do now, in the words of George Carlin, is just sit back and watch. So they asked her, of all the important questions, you know, about South Korea and about the residual effects of the Enron scandal and things like that. And they
like
asked,
you do.
Wait,
are you
joking? With Kim Kardashian? Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
They asked her, what are you going to name your new baby? You got a baby coming, Kim Kardashian. Northwest is the name of your current baby.
Current?
What's the name for the next baby? Could it be Southwest? See what you've done there? And Kim said decidedly no, they won't be going with Southwest. Here's why.
I don't like Southwest, though, because that's like, where, you know, North will always... you know, be better and be more, she has a better direction.
Well, yes, and you're setting your kids up for conflict and to be in opposition, aren't you? Yeah.
Exactly. So I wouldn't do that. I don't think we'll go with another direction.
Oh, God. No more direction names, because North would always...
be like, you know, be better. She has a better direction.
Mm-hmm. She's got a point. Pretty tough to argue.
Because up so is better
than down?
The
North rules, the South drools is what she's saying. Why does she hate the South?
I don't know. North is better. I just heard her. She just said it.
I think the South should rise again and take down the Kardashian clan.
All right.
Another trailer for a Sharknado 3 has been posted. I don't know if you guys saw it online or not, but you're going to like this. I think you're going to like it. I know Kevin.
Now, you're
Kevin
in this one
like
or you're
it.
Not in this one?
I am not in Sharknado. Okay. I've never been in any of the Sharknados.
Were you
what
in
you,
two?
What are you in? I was in Sharktopus.
Sharktopus. Okay.
Not Sharknado, but Sharktopus.
Lavalantula.
And I will be this summer in July. I'll be in Lavalantulas.
Okay.
Where Steve Guttenberg and I fight giant lava spewing spiders. What's so hard
pirate,
to remember
right?
about that?
That sounds awesome.
I was Captain Jack in Sharktopus. I am okay. Pirate Jack in Lavalantula.
Wow.
Just to keep the whole thing
expanding
straight.
Expanding your range.
All right.
Well, yes. I specialize in guys named Jack.
Are you sure Schwartzman isn't playing some sort of sea captain in Sharktopus?
I don't believe he is. I think the beard may be a personal beard. It may not be a work beard. Maybe a okay. personal beard. You guys will have to find out. Do your jobs and do an interview.
Well, we're going to ask him what he would name his kid if it was...
What direction would you name your kid?
Kim Kardashian. What should she do?
We're not going to go with any more directions.
Yeah.
Just the one direction.
Yep.
I don't have time for my list. Top 10 smells for kids.
Oh.
Top 10 that
smells
even for
kids. Smells that they like or smells
that kids love.
Oh.
There's a new list by the Olfactory Research Fund.
Sure.
You know, do you follow their
sure.
newsletter?
Yeah.
And they release kids, according to research, the top 10 smells that kids love.
Oh, I know number one.
No, you don't?
Yeah, I do.
I'm telling you don't right now.
How dare you?
I'm telling you don't know
Maybe
it.
I'll tell you what it is, and you'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, Allie.
Maybe you'll tell me what it is, and I'll go, wrong.
All right. Want to?
Do you want to save it, Ralph, or you want to try to burn through in a couple of minutes here?
No, we don't have time.
Because I have a guess, too.
Well, you just have to hold on.
All right.
It's what they call a tease in the industry.
Well done.
The next Showbiz Beat, we're going to talk about smells that kids like. That's going to keep you glued to your radio.
That's right.
Come on back.
Nothing more fascinating than smells that children enjoy.
And that ain't right.
That ain't right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Taylor Williamson is 29 years old today.
Timmy! we love Taylor, that's all
right. All right, but why just yell his name in a weird way? If you love him, why did you do that?
Happy birthday, Taylor.
Ta-da! Wayne Sermon, Imagine Dragons guitarist, is 31 years old today. Actor Neil Patrick Harris turns 42.
Neil!
Patrick! Leah Remini, you know her from King of Queens and the movie Escape from Scientology.
Sure, that's a movie.
It's not a movie. Hmm. She's 45 years old today. Ice Cube is 46. Courtney Cox celebrates her 51st birthday today. Helen Hunt turns 52. And actor Jim Belushi celebrates his 61st birthday today. I didn't get a lot of sleep this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Look at that beard. Oh, it's phenomenal. This is Jason No Fly Schwartzman just walked in here.
What do you guys think?
It's your playoff beard.
You like it?
Killing it.
Seriously, how long have you been on the Blackhawks, man? That's a good look. What's going on, Jason? Seriously, explain. I mean, you've had a beard before, but this is Manson-like, man.
Yeah, I had to grow it for work. Now...
You like having it? You not like having it?
Both. A little of both. It depends.
A little of both.
It depends. I like having it, like, right now because it gives us something to talk about and, like, it's a fun thing. Like,
no,
it's
there's
like,
no
it's
shortage like, of things to talk
but
about.
I like it. It casts an incredible shadow. Like, sometimes I'll catch myself in the shadow and it's pretty wild. But I don't need to have it. I don't need it. I'm not, like, there are some people that really don't. Want to be without a beard?
Right.
I could take it off right now.
How many times a day do you catch your shadow and it freaks you out?
Well, during the sunnier hours,
sure.
Like midday. So like four or five hours
yeah.
of some real like shadow catching.
You walked in and I thought, Hey, Adam Scott. How are you, sir?
How's it going? I'm
talking about Jason's beard if you're just joining us. It's our new segment.
I was going to say I dream about being able to grow a beard like this.
You could grow a beard like this.
I don't think I think if you give me 3 years, maybe I could.
I'm looking at your stubble right now. I see the wake. I see the pattern. And
my stubble is deceiving.
But, well, Jason, when you walked in, the first thing I thought is, oh, my God, it's Saul from Homeland.
Oh.
Well, it's good to see both of you guys again. You've both been on the Kevin and Bean Show before, but it's a thrill to have you here together. Jason Schwartzman and Adam Scott are here. The film is called The Overnight. It was all the talk at Sundance, and it is finally here this Friday, June 19th. This movie is going to be available in theaters. Did you guys know each other ahead of making this movie? I suspect you did. You seem like you would run with the same cool crowd.
Yeah, Jason was nice enough to come to Parks and Rec, and we had seen each other around.
Nice enough to have me.
No, come on. Everyone was so excited when Jason came to Parks, and then I ran over to him like a cross between a schoolgirl and a puppy dog, and wanted to just talk and hang out with him.
Did he hit you in the nose with a newspaper?
Yeah.
And
he had me
down.
He made me go get him a fresh beer from the fridge. Just like a dog? What am I talking about?
Like a great dog.
Well, the good dogs do. The good dogs could do that, I guess. I forgot that you were on Parks and Rec, Jason.
Yeah.
But you pop up in a lot of shows where I'm surprised to see you, it seems like.
It was so fun to do that show. I was like, I'm a big fan of that show, and I don't want to, you know, speak, you were there every day, but being there, I was like, God, this is maybe one of the greatest jobs in the world. Everybody seems so nice, and everyone is so funny, and they were all funny in different ways and seemed to let each other have their own style. Uh-oh.
Yeah, everyone, with that. It was a great job.
No one ever raises a mic to me, really.
Well,
like, I'm usually, I've never been, this is nice. I feel
but
tall.
She's raising it above the beard.
Yeah. Oh, is that beard muting
yes,
it?
Yes, it's sort of muting it.
It's muting it, right? Yeah.
Adam, I have to ask you, and I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, and I apologize.
A million times.
But what's the question I'm going to ask you about Parks and Rec right now?
Oh, is it about Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to ask me about my jacket.
No. First of all, I'm sure your TV, you never see your TV wife anymore. Amy Poehler is way too cool for you now, right?
Of course.
But that's not what I was going to ask you. Tell me what it's like for you as a Parks and Rec cast member to see what has happened to Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
First Guardians and now Jurassic World.
I know.
I mean, is it insane for you?
It's amazing. Well, I'm not surprised at all. It's like the moment I met him, I thought, why isn't this guy the biggest movie star in the world? And now he is the biggest movie star, quite literally the biggest movie star in the world. Yeah, I haven't seen Jurassic Park yet, but I can't wait to see it.
Apparently, Kevin, you saw it. He's phenomenal in it,
right?
He's
fantastic.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that sometimes the people try to pull off the comedy and it sort of doesn't land. He's really good at that.
He's so funny.
You can set your watch to that guy's timing. But also,
I don't know how I would do that. But
I'm going to bring all of my watches when I see Jurassic Park.
Okay. And by Jurassic Park, you mean Jurassic World?
Jurassic World. Yes.
Yeah.
I just feel bad for him and everyone involved with Jurassic World. I mean, I hope
it's been a rough weekend, right?
Yeah, I hope they're able to pull through and just get through.
Well, you do your best, and they don't always work out.
Yeah, you never know. You know, you never know.
It just
know.
Goes to show you, you can think you're making something like really that people are going to want to watch.
I know,
and then it's only $511 million over the weekend.
See, don't even say it. It's
worldwide
tragic.
In other words, so you could tell because he was so great at playing a doofus and maybe other people would have looked at him and just thought, oh, that dude's a doofus. You could just tell he was such a brilliant actor to be able to play that so convincingly, that character of Andy.
Yeah. I mean, he's so funny, but also you could see the inner swashbuckler, I think, with Chris. He's a really smart, funny, charismatic guy. And, you know, you don't get a lot of – like there's a real genuine movie star there, and you don't get a lot of those guys, especially American guys that can do all those things at the same time.
And also like all my like Harrison Ford, they're funny. Like that's what made Harrison Ford, I think, so great as Han Solo and Indiana Jones. Like they were in trouble a lot and trying to get out of trouble and funny. They weren't great. Like they weren't always – it was watching them kind of – weasel their way out of certain situations, and Chris is so funny.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. Yeah, because Indiana Jones was a teacher first,
yeah, exactly.
And an adventurer just by circumstance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey. Adam, what's the kind of role that you would like to play? And I'm going to ask both of you guys this question that you haven't been able to. Like Chris made that transformation from doing that comedy to being a swashbuckler and doing the kind of things he's doing. What's the role that you wish people would realize you could do but they haven't asked you to do yet?
You remember that music video Spoon Man, Soundgarden?
Yes.
I want to do the biopic of Spoon Man.
Because you could play a mean spoon and no one will let you do it on film?
Yeah, I don't know why this hasn't happened yet. I have to say it on the radio.
It should be a given, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Come on.
Adam Scott, Don Spoon Man.
Spoon Man, the movie.
And Jason can be like my manager who's getting me out there in Spoon Man.
I would totally be in that movie. If you want to make it happen.
You get out there and you spoon.
I would be in it. Yeah.
And Jason, what's the role that they're not asking you to play that you should?
Gosh, I don't even know if I could think of anything as good as the Spoon Man.
That's pretty
biopic.
Tough.
Biopic.
Maybe I would be in the reboot of it.
Okay,
sure.
All right.
Like 10 years later, we'll
after
redo
the Spoon
it.
Man thing is over, and you've gone on to other things. I would take.
Yeah.
I could try and be in the reboot,
or just a handoff like Batman.
Sure,
like it's not a reboot; it's just a continue. Like I'm Michael Keaton, and you're Val Kilmer. I just passed the baton.
Yeah,
maybe a spork. Because it's grown.
Spork man?
Yeah.
Sure.
I like it.
See, spork
this is
woman.
And for folks who wonder how Hollywood works, this is how Hollywood works.
Yeah, you're getting sort of an inside view of how stuff goes down. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
All right, Chip, find a spoon man. We're going to have to play that next.
Spoon Man.
Come together with your hands.
That was a huge song. I remember when that was on MTV and watching it and being like, really? Spoon Man.
Well, can I just give you, it's funny the way your day unfolds. I didn't expect to be telling you this. This is a very dorky anecdote for maybe like three people who might be interested.
Great.
And so and there's four of you in the room, so one of you is
out.
Out.
Yeah.
But
you can't be out.
I used to be in a band called Phantom Planet, and we would soundcheck. When they do, okay, now hold, floor tom, snare drum, you're hitting each drum to get the level, and they go, now full drum set. My full drum set beat that I would play was the breakdown from Spoon Man.
No way.
It goes up.
Boom, 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 boom. No way.
So it's that's amazing. That you're going to be in the movie then.
Yeah.
This is like the part in the overnight when we talk about the beach.
Yeah.
Sorry, a little inside joke for people who have seen the overnight.
So that was for fewer people than Jason.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Since the movie's not even out yet.
We are
no
narrowing
sense.
Down the available audience, I'll tell you, with every story, that's
hey,
for sure.
I just make a joke for like my wife from like this morning, like in the kitchen, just for one person. With
that is so crazy, though, that's your soundcheck song. That's so weird.
This reminds me of one of my all-time favorite jokes is from the movie Arthur, is when Dudley Moore just starts laughing in the middle of a scene, and the girl in it says, what's so funny? And he goes, she goes, what? What is it? He goes, nothing. I just thought something funny.
Adam Scott is here. Jason Schwartzman is here. We will, I promise, talk about the film opening this Friday called The Overnight when we return right after this on K-Rock.
I just started 40 seconds ago.
I did not see that coming.
That was unbelievable, you guys. If you'd have seen the way these guys were air drumming to Spoon Man, it was awesome.
I feel good.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a workout to get your morning started, huh?
A little bit.
That was that's Jason Schwartzman and Adam Scott in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By
the
way, have you guys met Chris Cornell? You've met him, right?
No, I haven't.
I never met him.
He's so dreamy, first of all. But we've had him on the show many, many times over the years. And he's come in and he's performed live in the studio with us before. You can't believe how great his voice is.
Oh,
there's no tricks going on there. I mean, he is the real deal.
I was a big fan of that first solo record of his back in like 98.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a good album.
Yeah, he's got a new one coming out this fall, too.
Oh, really?
Chris Cornell. He has new
that's one that goes, but I don't have the power. But I don't have the... Anyway, sorry. It's great. I know.
I feel like single from that?
Yeah.
I don't have the time. No.
Yeah, I don't have.
Is it possible that we're a little off track?
I think
perhaps.
We are.
All
right. All right, guys,
here. Well, Chris Cornell produced this movie, so I think it's good to bring it around.
Yeah. We should talk about this movie because it opens up on Friday. As I mentioned when you sat down, it was all the talk at Sundance, and I have many questions about this film. First of all, you made the movie in 12 days. That's unusual even these days in filmmaking, right?
Yeah, it was a really quick one. And 10 of those days we shot at night. So it was 10 nights and then just 2 days. So we'd go to work at 6 p.m. and go home at 6 a.m. And it was, we all were, you know, by the end of those 10 days, felt like we were going crazy.
Yeah, is that a blur? I mean, do you, because you don't have the time to go back and do anything. What's next? Let's go.
Yeah. It was fun, though. Like, we felt we would be, we're the, like, the whole city's asleep, and we're up on top of this hill in this big house making a movie, and no one's on the phone because the world's asleep. And we feel like we're making this secret little thing.
Yeah, and just like, you know, there is something that you do get delirious, you know, if you're not used to that schedule, you get delirious. And I think that added to the spirit of the movie. Like, when you watch it, like I, you know, because I was there, I guess, but I feel kind of like it feels wild. It's about these characters who are spending a night, you know, together, this kind of ongoing evening. And it feels like that when I watch it.
Explain to people who haven't seen the trailer yet your character and Adam's character.
Well, Adam and his wife, Taylor Schilling, moved to Los Angeles from Seattle. And they bring their young – they don't have any friends yet. And they bring their young son to a park. And their son meets a little boy who's my son. And I quickly, you know, suss out that they don't know anyone. And I say, why don't you come to my house for a little pizza party tonight? And the kids can have a play date. And I can kind of just give you a little information about the neighborhood. And then that – So far, it's a normal pizza party. You were at one, you know, last week. And then, but as it goes on,
the kids go to sleep.
The kids go
eventually
to bed, and it becomes a play date for the adults.
It becomes a grown up party. Yeah.
And basically, the night becomes a night when everything is questioned and everything gets vented and aired out. And
everyone's life changes over the course of the one.
But we can't talk about exactly how that happens, because I don't want to give anything away.
Right.
But it does get wild. I mean, it does. And there's a swimming pool.
There's a swimming pool. Spoiler alert, someone barfs.
Yep.
Okay.
Taylor Schilling from Orange is New Black is in it, too. Uh-huh. She's super funny.
Incredible.
It's really good. Like, we're all excited about the movie. And you don't always feel that way when you're going out.
That's why we're happy to be here too, because like we feel like this, it's very nice of you. It's a small movie that we made, so to be able to tell people about it, and your audience, I think, is like, I think they'll be into
they'll
it.
They'll love it.
Yeah,
I think
they
love it.
Yeah, it's super fun.
You do, right? Love penis. You really love it. You love it so much. Well, if you love it, then there's going to be two of them.
Now, I hate to ask, because again, I know you guys have covered this in other interviews at Sundance, especially, but we got to talk about prosthetic penises only because it's so far out of the realm of what most of us can't even imagine what it's like. I mean, does it glue on? Does it bolt on? Like, how does something like that even work?
Bolts on.
I would like to hear Bean explain how he thinks it bolts on. How would that work, Bean?
Like, you tell me, guys, how do they put on a prosthetic
penis? We get a Mack welder in there and a bolter.
Gluing and bolting, those are his guesses.
Yeah. Are either of those close?
Well, the first one was. The gluing is the way that we did it, which they – I guess there are many different types of prosthetics, but our kind that we had is sort of like a giant, almost like the front of a bikini, in a way. With
so it's a little pouch that you put over you.
Sort of,
that's right.
It's kind of squishes over your body, and it's kind of like Tempur-Pedic material. I would call it.
And it goes down and up the back of your
underneath,
butt.
Yeah, and then they glue it to the small of your back.
Sounds comfortable.
It's
terrific.
Honestly, I actually would feel less embarrassed. I would walk around on a beach if it wasn't uncomfortable for other people. I would rather walk around with a prosthetic penis on than a bathing suit in a weird way.
You know, there's this weird.
Either of you have the prosthetic on now?
Both of us.
You both do.
We both have it, but we're wearing the other ones just for fun. Yes. We got to spice it up.
And then right when we finish here, we're going to switch.
Yeah.
You know,
we do every other penis.
There's this weird psychological barrier that goes up. We both had these prosthetic penises on, and that's all we had on.
Yeah.
So for all intents and purposes, and they look like real penises. So for all intents and purposes, we were naked.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not actually ours. Yeah. So there's this weird psychological barrier that's up, and we both felt way more comfortable than we should have just hanging out on
and
set.
And in the beginning, I felt that people, even though everyone on the crew knew they were fake, people would still come up and, like, they would try not to look down. They would just be staring into your eyes saying, could we get you a coffee of any kind or something? And I'm like, this don't. This is not my. You can touch this penis.
Yeah.
This is for everyone. This penis. Yeah. This is not. This is not. This is for all. I'm just because I'm wearing it doesn't make it mine.
Like you could stir your coffee with this, and I wouldn't feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a nice offer.
You can have this.
Sure. Nice offer.
Yeah. You can have this penis in anything that you want. This coffee.
Take a
anything.
Picture with
Take
it.
Take a picture with it. Hold it.
Now the trailer the trailer that is up is Red Band. It looks like there's a lot of nudity in this movie. The girls too, or is it just a bunch of guys running around naked?
There's
a lot of posing right there that makes me.
There's both. There's both. I just want to get it right. I want to get it right.
Yeah, I was racking my brain as well. Yeah, there is both.
No, there's both. There's both, but there's a lot of penis.
A lot of penis. All right.
Prosthetic penis.
There's your.
But there truly is both, and it's. And it's a wild time, and we were in a pool for a lot of the movie naked,
yeah.
And being with these prosthetic penises in a pool was quite, that was really fun too.
Like it floats.
It floats in the beginning, and then it gets waterlogged.
Yeah, eventually it gets like waterlogged. And it kind did. Of swells to the size of a canoe.
Yeah, it was. We were asked to get out of the pool.
So they could wring out your penises?
Yeah. We had a penis wringer.
They had to, like, dry them out.
Look, I know being an actor is a weird job, but there have to have been times at 5 o'clock in the morning where you just looked at each other and thought, as you were swimming around with your prosthetic penises, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
what
no,
are we doing?
For sure.
Absolutely. There wasn't a moment where we weren't looking at each other going, what are we doing?
I know.
The film is called The Overnight. It is in theaters this Friday. We've got one more segment with our guests, Jason Schwartzman and Adam Scott are here. We'll return right after this on K-Rock. Two young men who act for a living, Jason Schwartzman and Adam Scott in studio with us here on The Kevin Bean Show. The new film is called The Overnight. It looks awesome, and it opens up on Friday. Hey, I want to ask you guys about a couple of other things since you're here.
First of all, thank you for saying young.
Right?
Appreciate
it. I'm just buttering up the talent, you know.
Yeah.
We had David Wayne on last week, Jason, talking about the Wet Hot American Summer. You're still filming that? Are you done with that? How's
done.
That going?
Done.
Is it awesome?
I haven't seen the finished thing, but the script was incredible, and I hear good things about it.
Adam, I feel like you should have been in that.
I was going to be, and then I was in Sundance with this
thing. Yes,
she
was going to be for real.
Yeah, and I couldn't do it.
There Too
was
busy.
This awesome part that I was so excited to play, and I couldn't do it.
I want to ask you, Adam, about Black Mass
that
you have completed.
Yeah.
With Johnny Depp and Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's
come
right.
on, with
What's
the come
that?
On.
That's right.
What is that?
It's this movie about Whitey Bulger.
Oh,
yeah. That comes out September, October, something
I
like
I think
that.
So. I think the fall, yeah.
I haven't seen it, but it was really, really fun to shoot. Really, really good. Really good.
Where'd you make that?
In Boston.
Wow.
Which is if I'm not mistaken, it's in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that's accurate.
United States.
Well, yeah. United States,
not so fast. Not so fast.
Joel Edgerton. Is in it. He's amazing in it. Kevin Bacon, a bunch of great actors. Yeah.
So you're the one of these guys is not like the other guy. Is you right in that movie?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, he's
like, what
man
am
out?
I doing here? Yeah. Thanks,
I
appreciate that.
I always
you're right.
I always wonder about. I mean, guys like you have worked so much for so long and have been in so many different kinds
right.
of projects. Do you still get starstruck at all by some of the people?
Yeah.
I mean, like when you sign on to a Johnny Depp movie, Adam, for instance, is that still a big deal for a guy like you?
For sure. I mean, it's a big deal for me to get to hang out and work with Jason Schwartzman.
So you're easily impressed?
No,
yeah. Doesn't take much.
But I do. I get very nervous around. You know, talented, interesting people because, you know, you never feel like you're – or I never feel like I'm as interesting. And
you feel like you're going to get found out?
Yeah, for sure. It's that – at the beginning of Annie Hall, he quotes Groucho Marx, I would never want to be a part of a club that would have me as a member sort of feeling.
Right, right.
That's my constant
state of mind. Was Johnny Depp nice?
Yes, he was, but I wasn't in any scenes with him. I don't want to spoil
Stop talking,
anything.
Yeah.
That's not it. There's no. That's not a spoiler.
Well, Jason, I can learn something from Jason. He asked a question, and then Adam went on, and Jason said, stop talking.
Yeah. Well, I realized that we might be getting into a thing where it's a spoiler alert thing.
Oh, okay.
Because he was saying that he didn't know. He was saying he didn't have things with Johnny Depp, so I was thinking, okay,
I don't
want to
get anyone
in
trouble.
Yeah.
No, there's no spoiler.
Jason, who have you been the most starstruck by in your career?
Well, can I say two things? One is like I would say Bill Murray, you know, is I've gotten to work with him and now I've worked with him a few times, mm-hmm. and it's still an experience that I don't feel like I don't feel like I could just like slap him on the back of the back, and
you still keep your distance around
I'm
Mr. Murray.
I'm just a little like it's pretty. I remember actually.
Is he intimidating? Is that
well? He's just. I don't even know. It's not fair, by the way, for me to put so much on. He's just probably you know he's a normal man, but he's a. He's like a legend. He's an icon. Yeah. And I think that he actually is like the best, like the funniest person. And I remember one time being in the back of a car with him and he fell asleep. And I remember just looking at him going like, this is like – and he was just like so innocent and just like so
helpless. How long did you watch him sleep?
Like a few minutes. It was a, it was a nap. He took a nap, and but I watched him the whole nap. So a good 2 or 3 minutes. And, but for the record – what else was I supposed to do? Bill Murray sleeping next to you? Yeah. I think anybody would have watched him sleep. But I was just kind of watching when those are the hands, that's the body, that's the thing. They look,
this is
like,
the guy.
This is the guy.
This is the Ghostbusters guy. This
it,
is
it
the,
was Dr. Peter Venkman asleep yeah, right man. Beside me.
Now,
right.
When he woke up, did he see you staring at him?
I looked, I said, welcome back.
Did you really?
I said, welcome back.
You're really nice when you sleep.
But Jason, hold on a second. How many movies have you guys
what shoot was done that together? On that you
It was well we were promoting the Fantastic Mr. Fox yeah. and we were in England and he fell asleep in English traffic.
Oh my so you've God. Probably done 5 movies with Bill Murray, I would imagine,
I
the
think
Wes
so.
Anderson movie. Okay,
yeah.
So let's say that's right. So are you guys friends?
I mean, I don't
we
know.
We need to
I
ask them both.
But can I say also for me, like being in here, I know I keep saying it, but I grew up in LA and I've listened to you guys almost since you guys came here. And it's always a real thrill for me to be here. So it's like starstruck. I'm blown away
well,
that I'm
absurd.
Always here. No,
well,
I'm honestly, seriously telling you the truth.
Right, stop talking.
All right. But that is a true thing. And like yesterday we got to meet Adam Carolla. And I was saying, you know, you were Mr. Bertram. And I was so excited about that, you know. And we talked about it. I saw you in Austin.
And we talked about
like I was telling him my favorite bits, like the bathroom bit, like in the stalls when you guys were talking to people and stuff.
I got
to
tell you.
That stuff meant a lot to me on the way to school.
Yeah.
You know, like a big – you know, these things are part of your life. So, in fact, I'm more Star Trek to be here because it's more personal to me. You know what
would
I mean?
Would you like to watch us sleep before you go?
I would like to watch you sleep.
If you could just stand
if
there
you could
and
turn
close
that
your
camera
eyes.
Around. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I want to film. I want you to be sleeping. You to be sleeping. Everyone just take a nap. I'll stay and watch.
Well, that is very
it's
sweet of you, Jason, to say that.
And yeah, it's a little creepy.
We're always excited to have
Who
you on that? The program, and we're always excited to have
yeah, it's a little creepy.
Who is that?
Just that
the voice
was,
we have? I don't know.
Who yeah, was that, Kevin? Where did that come
yeah,
from?
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
You know who that was? It was Adam McKay.
Ah.
That does sound like
it. I think it was Adam McKay. I think
yeah,
that's
a little creepy.
From a phone interview we did with him.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Listen,
yeah,
before we let you boys go into the wilderness, let's hear some highlights from the trailer. Again, the film is called The Overnight. It's two couples who have no idea what's going to happen at the beginning of this party. And by the way, there's a whole subgenre of movies that take place in one day that mm-hmm. I love. There's so many great movies that are shot over one night or
what's
one day.
Lawrence of Arabia.
that didn't come to mind. Well, Dazed and Confused is the first one that I think of.
Yeah, Dazed and Confused.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of them.
I love
Nick of Time.
Groundhog Day is
Dog Day Afternoon.
Dog Day Afternoon is another one. American Graffiti, there's a bunch of them. All right, so let's hear a little
Falling
bit from
down.
Star Wars. The Overnight. Star Wars, Adam, you're missing the point. Listen up, from The Overnight, opening up everywhere this Friday.
Not documentary, though.
Please
we just moved here from Seattle.
Well, welcome. This park is fantastic. Uh-huh. You got 2 oyster bars, one of which is the
This is California. Maybe this is what dinner parties are like.
Can I show you my passion?
Is that
a butthole? This series is called Portals. $50 if you can guess which one's mine.
I'm pretty sure we've moved to a swinger vibe.
I don't think so at all.
You're drunk and you're stoned.
Girls, get the biggest towel you got because you're about to be dripping wet.
Oh, boy.
Adam Scott got to say the line, is that a butthole? That's what happened in this movie.
He did.
That should be on the poster, by the way. The movie looks fantastic, you guys. It's called The Overnight, opening Friday. So great to see you both again. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys, so much.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Monday morning, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. I want to give you a little programming note. If, like me, you are a fan of mob movies... One of my favorite genres of films are mobster movies. Whether it's Goodfellas or the old school mob stuff, you know, like Lucky Luciano and those guys. I mean, if you've got a mob movie, I'm in. And AMC tonight has a the beginning of an 8-part miniseries called The Making of the Mob, New York, which is the story behind how the mob rose up in New York City to pretty much run organized crime.
I love that stuff.
In that town. Me too. Narrated by Ray Liotta, Henry Hill himself. Karen! Karen, we needed that, Karen! They're going to show the world premiere of the 25th anniversary remastered edition of Goodfellas beforehand. And then at 10 p.m. on AMC is this miniseries called The Making of the Mob, New York. And it is also, they got tons of interviews with people like the guys from Goodfellas and people from The Sopranos and stuff. So it kind of crosses over between the fiction of the mob and the reality of the mob. And former governor, mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, is also in it. So I've seen a little piece of it, and it looks terrific. So tonight at 10 p.m. at AMC, if you're interested in the mob like I am, you can check out this documentary miniseries. But looks good. So I wanted to give you a heads up because I'm going to be watching. Let's talk about the movies now. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. As expected, Jurassic World did very well for itself. Just missed out setting a record for the biggest opening weekend ever in North America, but it certainly did it worldwide, pulling in over $511 million worldwide. In North America, it made just a little over $204 million. So, pretty good opening. Pretty good opening weekend for Jurassic
World. People like it, or?
It's okay. Didn't beat Avengers in North America for opening weekend. Fail. Epic, epic fail. Spy was second at the box office with $16 million. So you go from $204 million to $16 million. Seeing a lot
Seems
of people
lot of
went to see Jurassic World. San Andreas was third. Insidious Chapter 3 was fourth. Pitch Perfect was fifth, excuse me. Entourage, then Mad Max Fury Road, Avengers Tomorrowland, and Love and Mercy were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Bean, did you see that Love and Mercy, that Brian Wilson story? I know you were looking forward
yet.
To that.
I want to. I keep hoping it'll turn up on demand, but it hasn't yet.
You keep hoping they'll show up at your door and just perform it live for you in your living room?
A lot of those smaller movies.
Get off the island!
A lot of those smaller movies now, they do also have video on demand or digital distribution sometimes,
right.
But that hasn't happened
yet. Or you can go in a theater and see it the way God intended in a movie theater.
I have
on
not
a
done
big
that
screen.
Yet. I would like very much to see it, but I have not.
I saw that movie.
What?
You saw Love and Mercy?
Yes.
You don't care about the Beach Boys?
I don't care about anything
that's not bad.
I went with a lot of friends.
But there's no clouds in that.
There's no dinosaurs in this Brian Wilson. There's no dinosaurs in the Beach Boys.
No, it's not the opposite weekend. I went with a bunch of friends, and they all wanted to go to that. I was like, but what about the dinosaurs?
Oh, you must have been miserable.
Well, it didn't help that I was sitting next to 95-year-old man who hums every Beach Boys song. And I don't think he knows he was doing it. So I was obsessed with him. Oh, come on!
Was he humming or was he singing? Because I heard words there. That wasn't
mumbling,
humming.
Humming.
Get your story straight.
It was driving me nuts.
How was the movie, Kevin?
It was fascinating.
I don't know. Guy was humming.
It was fascinating.
One guy hums. I can't pay attention. I hum. I listen to hum.
I feel sorry for him.
Well, you should. I mean, he's mentally ill.
The guy humming the damaged. Songs?
Yeah,
you don't know he was mentally ill.
No. Brian Wilson. Talk about Brian Wilson. Yeah.
And his dad was a dick. And his manager was a dick. Yeah. I mean, everybody. It's just crazy how bad that was. Yeah. Poor bastard.
Well, what did you think of the movie?
It was great.
New appreciation for the Beach Boys?
It was really amazing.
Was John Cusack so good?
He was so good, yeah. He really
was. Paul Dano so good?
Sure. Yeah, he was great. It was really a good movie. But
wow, that's quite an endorsement coming from a guy who really wouldn't care anything about a movie like
that.
Yeah,
I argued a lot. Come on!
How does Kevin have friends, by the way,
how
who
dare
want
you?
To go see good movies and eat good food and drink wine and stuff?
All
how
of them chose.
I know. You have all these friends who seem like very smart, erudite people who just
what
like,
are you saying, Ralph?
Know the better things in life.
Yeah, what's your point?
And then you got mac and cheese and strawberry ice cream and cartoons
There's
in the
room
corner.
For all of it.
Yeah, but how do they friends with you? What did it for them is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't have the answer.
They need to take a long, hard look in the mirror. Do you hear this guy hum? Is everyone hearing the hum gun next to me? Kevin was just incensed.
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, you missed out this weekend by doing all the things that you did. You missed out by being at the Taste of Fort Collins.
The Taste of Fort Collins
you
is
heard
what?
Me. You
is
heard
this
me.
Colorado?
What is that?
That's where Fort Collins is, indeed, in Colorado. They have a big street festival each and every year, and they always have the best of the bands, the best of the high entertainment, high level entertainment showing up for Taste of Fort Collins. This year was Smash Mouth. Smash Mouth came out to entertain the gang at the Taste of Fort Collins Street Festival.
I haven't heard that name in 15 years.
Hey now!
Smash Mouth.
I'm an all-star.
You're an all-star.
Come on.
Let's play. So they're there. And here's the thing. Everyone at the Taste of Fort Collins at the Street Festival, they get as a little parting gift, as a little thank you for participating present, you get a loaf of fresh baked bread from one of the local bakeries there in Fort Collins.
Okay.
And what a nice treat for everyone to have some fresh baked bread while they walk the streets of Fort Collins celebrating the festival. What turned ugly, though, was when the crowd started to pelt Smash Mouth with loaves of bread.
Oh, no.
While they were performing.
That's sad.
It was sad, and for frontman Steve Harwell, the face and voice of Smash Mouth, it was more than sad. It was infuriating.
Uh-oh.
To the point where he pulled a Kevin and threatened to fight the entire audience that was watching Smash Mouth try to get through their set. Here's a little audio from the events that transpired.
You throw one more piece of on the stage, I'm going to come find your ass. I'm going to beat your ass. Whoever you are out there, okay? You want to be a badass? Come up here. Come on. Come on stage. You bring your ass on stage, you're ever throwing at me, I will tell you right now, I will beat the out of you, okay? Bitch, okay? You're ruining the show for thousands of people right now because I'm gonna walk off stage and guess what? You're paying for it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, the band's like, all right, Steve. Come on, Steve.
Come on, do a little walk into the set. Quit yelling at our audience.
Okay. Hey, now, you're an all-star. Come on,
Steve. Hey, stop fooling or I'll fight every one of you.
There's Steve there, too, also. The taste of
that's college. Awesome.
That's like a minute of it. He puts down the mic. He goes into the crowd.
Wow.
Guys from the band have to restrain him and pull him back on stage, and they're desperate just to get the set over with. It's quite entertaining, so you can check that
good
out.
Good times.
Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I am a man of my word, and I don't want to break my promise to those of you who are breathlessly awaiting the top 10 list of smells kids love.
Well, we teased it all weekend long.
We did tease
it. Got to pay it off now.
We did tease it. The list from the Olfactory Research Fund, their job is to look into things that you smell.
Okay.
Hence the name Olfactory. And they have come up with scientifically proven the top 10 smells kids love. Kids just adore these smells. These are their favorites.
All right, Allie, you said when Ralph mentioned this last hour that you had a guess that you said, were sure was going to be number one.
I know what number one is. I'm wrong.
What was your guess, Allie?
Bubblegum.
Not in the top 10.
How dare you?
And my guess was clay.
Yeah, that's just nuts.
Clay?
That Allie, I can understand.
What are you talking about?
You, well, what are they, children potters? Well, they all have their pottery wheels. Just
what, clay?
Whipping what up a vase?
What I meant was, as Allie corrected me at the time, Play-Doh.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking.
It's very different. Not on the top 10.
Elmer's Play-Doh glue. Is not on the top 10.
You heard me.
Elmer's glue.
Elmer's glue.
Come on. How about Elmer's glue?
I'm sorry, that's worse than clay.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, please. All right, how about
marker smell?
Gasoline.
Gasoline, number 9 on the list. Number 9 for gasoline.
Well, how about chocolate chip
cookies?
Kid
a little bit more.
How about chocolate chip cookies?
Cookies, number 4. Number 4 on the list.
How about freshly cut grass?
Freshly cut grass, number 6 on the list.
Kids like freshly cut grass?
Kids love freshly cut grass. Children love it. Can't get
vagina.
Enough of it. See, look, at 9:03, really? You're going to start? You're going to be
all
that
right, not
guy?
Not a good guess. All right. Smells that kids love. Are there any other food-related
there
ones?
There are. Number 2 is a big food.
How about hamburger?
Nope.
Mac and cheese?
Nope.
Steak.
Grilled cheese?
Nope. Steak. Kids love a good porterhouse.
The younger, the better.
Oh, you know what the kids are all screaming for now? They like a big filet mignon.
French fries.
No.
Come on!
I told you no. Uh-huh. All right, we're out of time. I'm going to give you the rundown. Oh, there's another food on the list, too. Number 10.
Pizza.
Pizza's number 2.
Sweet.
Pizza's number 2.
Sure. Okay.
Number 10. Kevin would like this, especially when he's on Ambien and he's eating ice cream.
Strawberry ice cream.
Strawberries.
Sure.
Strawberries, number 10. Gasoline, as you mentioned, was number 9. Mom's perfume, number 8.
Smells like donkey ass.
No donkey ass on the list. Fresh air is number 7.
Oh, shut up!
Who doesn't like a good whiff of fresh
dumb.
Air?
That's a dumb list. Tear it
I didn't
up.
Know
anyone liked the smell of gasoline. Anyone.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So when
everybody does.
Everyone loves.
Everybody.
So when you're pumping
gas
and you get it on your hands or on your clothes or something like that, you're glad about it?
I just take
I'm
my hand.
I'm puffing that hand
my fingers
all day.
Right up to my face.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I'm like a kid on prom night, just taking my hand and just right up to my face. Just,
nope.
Wow, that was
a big whiff.
Nope.
Roses, fifth on the list.
Dumb.
How is the smell of roses dumb? People love the smell of roses, Kevin.
Please.
This is the Olfactory Research Fund.
Whatever.
You don't know. The ocean was third. Salt air. Fresh air. Salt. Sea air. Ocean air. pizza, as I mentioned, was two. Number one, flowers. Kids love the smell of flowers.
That's a dumb list.
It's not a dumb list. It's science. You're a dumb list.
I'll debate that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Look it up. Look it up. But Taylor Williams and her buddy want to give him a special shout out. His birthday's today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Nancy Zaragoza from Sylmar.
That's probably close.
That's close enough for me, right? You can win passes all week long. She got them. It's a private tour hosted by Stryker of Fast and Furious Supercharged at Universal Studios.
Sounds like a good deal. Your chance to win between now and 10 o'clock, so stick around for that. Our old friend Mary McNamara is on the phone. She is the Los Angeles Times television critic. Are you okay? Are you coughing? What's going on, Mary?
I'm sorry. I'm coughing. I have a summer cold.
Oh. All right. Appreciate you coming on again. How you been?
I'm good. I'm good.
You got a new piece. Is this in this morning's LA Times?
No, it was in Sundays.
In Sundays. Okay,
yeah,
got
a
new piece that is interesting. It's something that I have heard others talk about, but you kind of go in-depth with a new and possibly disturbing trend on entertainment television, which is that in recent seasons, there's been a lot of rape on our TV.
Yes.
What was the impetus for you to sit down and write this one out, Mary?
Well, I think that, I mean, basically we're seeing a lot more rape on television and people are getting upset about it. They're getting upset about the way it's portrayed. They're getting upset about the number of rapes they're seeing on television. They're getting upset the way that it's whether the women are being used, whether it's gratuitous, whether it's a plot point, whether it's, you know, meaningful, whatever. There's just been a huge conversation about it. And what was interesting to me is that it's taking place at a time when there's also a huge conversation or a renewed conversation about the actual incidence of rape in the United States. We're seeing activism on campus and, you know, in general in cities and the military. I mean, the topic is a very hot topic again.
But that kind of makes sense. I mean, the people who write these TV shows live in the 21st century America that we all live in, and they turn on the news and they see these stories that are happening. And I think that that would only be logical that that kind of inform their writing, right?
Absolutely. And that was like sort of my point, is that what's weird to me is the fact that at a time when rape activism is, you know, so alive and strong and focused on, you know, the number of rapes that, you know, a horrifying number of rapes that are committed every year, people are getting, like, all bent out of shape because there are so many rapes on television. And my point was, if we are going to show, you know, sophisticated stories that feature women's lives in a real way, we're going to have to deal with the fact that rape is part of them. Fear of rape or past rapes or, you know, that you cannot ignore it, which is something that television has kind of done in the past. I mean, we saw certain rapes. There were cop shows, you know, the special victims unit that was dedicated to rape crimes. But in general, in just other kinds of dramas, if you saw a rape, it would be a very special episode, one thing that happened and then would drive a whole season. Now you're seeing more like, you know, it's not, I mean, I don't want to say it's not a big deal, but it doesn't stop the action in its tracks.
Gotcha.
The way that it used to.
And you talk about shows like The Americans, Outlander, Game of Thrones, of course, most recently, Downton Abbey, House of Cards, Mad Men, Scandal. I mean, it's a pretty long list of shows.
It's a long list.
And you brought up this Game of Thrones. I mean, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but everyone around me does. And I understand that people were really even more upset about this rape than they are about little kids being burned at the stake. What's that about, Mary?
Well, I think, you know, people were pretty upset about the kid being burned at the stake, actually. But I think they were upset because it felt like there were so many rapes or near rapes have happened in Game of Thrones. And also some people were very concerned about the fact that the actual shooting of this rape focused on a male character. Theon was forced to watch the rape, and the camera was on his face as long or longer than it was on Sansa's face, who was the victim of rape. And that's, you know, so some people are arguing that the same thing happened in Downton Abbey when Anna was raped, and suddenly then all the action was, oh my goodness, what will her husband do? We have to worry about Mr. Bates again. So that's a concern that's more like kind of a micro concern, you know, how it's being handled. And but what was so funny is that so, not funny, was striking, was that so many people saw Sansa's rape. There was like, I'm out, I'm done with Game of Thrones. I'm not going to watch it anymore because I can't stand these scenes of violence, even though this is a show that has been violent from the very first moment that it appeared. It's like kind of, it was not at all, you know, a departure from the show's tone.
Yeah, it's the same tone, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also here's, you know, I mean, to my mind, one of the things that I think that Game of Thrones does really well is shows you the reality of royal weddings, these arranged marriages. They were not fun for the women. They were not like, it wasn't like, oh, and so you get this arranged marriage with some deranged king, and then he turns out to be like a, you know, a kind and sympathetic lover. That didn't really happen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So in general, as somebody who watches television and writes about it for a living, do you think most shows are getting it right, or is that your complaint, is that you think that they're handling it, these storylines are not being presented in a realistic enough way, or there's not enough emphasis on the woman's recovery, or being...
Well, as horrible as it sounds, I'm actually happy that we're seeing more incidents on television. I mean, I think it's we're exploring how to get it right, but you can't figure out how to get it right if you don't do it. So I'm happy to see that it's becoming a storyline. I think that as people, you know, as it becomes more of a familiar storyline, you'll see better storylines about it.
You know, I wonder sometimes, and this maybe gets off the rape topic. Are you all right, Mary? Do we need
to send
an ambulance? I wonder about this sometimes, and I guess there are probably as many opinions as there are people who watch TV, but do you have times where something just isn't entertainment for you anymore because it's so hard to watch? You know, I'm thinking about a show like Hannibal. I mean, it is about the most violent thing I think I've ever seen on network TV. Does that ever happen to you where you go, well, this is no longer something that's entertainment to me because I can't look at it?
Well, you know, I think that that's a really interesting point. It's like, what is entertainment and what is the point of entertainment? And I think people come to TV for very different reasons. And one person can come to different kinds of shows for very different reasons. And sometimes we do want to just be, quote unquote, entertained. We don't want to have to think about it. We want to be soothed, or we want to be distracted, or we want to be separated from, you know, something horrible that's happening in our own lives, you know, or whatever. But I think increasingly television is taking itself very seriously as an art form, and that means that you're going to have shows that are not necessarily fun to watch, that are thought-provoking, that are disturbing, that are, you know, that are going to change the way we view one thing or another, which is not easy. You know, to change people's opinions about certain things often means you have to shock them, you have to disturb them. And I think that that's also, we're seeing like kind of people going, wait, what is television, you know, which used to be this nice domesticated animal that we had in our homes. You know, suddenly there are things on there that are like kind of making me upset. But, you know, art is supposed to make you upset sometimes. That's the point.
All right, let me ask you one last question. This is the voice of our friend Mary McNamara, Los Angeles Times television critic, on the phone with us. You make a reference to the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and that's different and has broken ground how?
Well, that's like, I mean, as I say in the piece, it's kind of like a post-rape comedy. I mean, here's this woman who was in an underground, you know, she was kidnapped as a child and kept underground by a crazy man with a couple of other women who, you know, and the crazy man presumably raped them continually. I mean, and there are like kind of, there was a joke in the first season, you know, when she went to a plastic surgeon and Martin Short plays this crazy plastic surgeon and he says something about her scream lines. You're very young to have these scream lines.
Geez.
And it was funny, but it was also like, I mean, the implications were just horrifying, you know. So you're taking this subject that is literally ripped from the headlines, where we've seen, you know, these women that have been, you know, rescued from these just horrific situations, and turning it into a comedy. And it's a very brave show. You know, I don't know that it always gets it, you know, the tone right, but it's like, it's never been done before. And it's, you know, it's something that, because it's Tina Fey and because, you know, we like the actor, that it is, you know, it's a very brightly colored, like kind of, I don't want to say comic book, but I mean, it's like there is like kind of this otherworldly feel to it. You know, I mean, it's just, so it's kind of, you know, but very disturbing at its heart. And so that balance is something that is new to television.
Do you think television is getting better because of these changes?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I mean, we see more television, so we see more bad television. We also see more good television, and that it's, you know, if you're not willing to, I mean, you know, my feeling is if you're not pissing people off, you're not doing your job right. If you're not willing to make mistakes, if you're not willing to, you know, further the line, push the line, then there is no improvement. I mean, sometimes you are going to make people mad. Sometimes you are going to go too far. And that's, again, that's the point of being in a creative field, is like sort of to expand the way we think about things, expand the cultural universe. And that doesn't happen without some people getting mad or upset sometimes.
Well, that's a very very thoughtful piece that you wrote for the Los Angeles Times in yesterday's paper. You can see it online at latimes.com. Follow Mary on Twitter at MaryMacTV, and we appreciate, as always, you coming on the show. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:43.
Lazy ending. It's lazy, I'm just saying.
It does sound like they just kind of petered out. Yeah.
Do the job.
Sounds like you're also listening to Ralph Garman and our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
It is a Monday morning, so we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend, so you can see what people went to see in the theaters. And it's official. We've got a new tally. Congratulations, Jurassic World. They have broken the record for biggest opening weekend in ever in North America.
Yay!
The final tally is in, and they've raked in over $208 million and change, making it the number one biggest grossing opening weekend for a movie ever in North America.
So the unofficial numbers had it just under
just
Avengers.
Under Avengers, which and had pulled in top. $207 million. Now they're saying $208 million and change actually makes Jurassic World the biggest grossing opening movie weekend in film history.
Now the Avengers is going, let us recount then.
Yeah.
Right?
We have, wait a minute, I have some change here in my sofa. Let me check my cup holder in my car. I think I might... So you know what that means.
What's it mean?
Dance off?
Avengers versus Dinosaurs.
I like
it. It's going to be the next movie.
I'm in.
Avengers go to Jurassic Park to try to clean up the mess that's left over after the world happened.
Kevin, don't answer this if this is a spoiler alert in the new Jurassic World film.
Yes.
But how did anyone get talked into having another dinosaur theme park after what happened in the first two movies? Like, how do they explain away that somebody thought that was a good idea?
First three movies.
Oh, this is the fourth one?
First three,
all right.
Three movies.
How do they keep making the same tragic mistake that gets lots of people killed over and over and over
just
again?
Just new
Kevin?
People this
and
time.
They made it work. They made it work for like 20
for
years.
A long
it was
time.
Fine.
And then the military took over, Bean.
See?
And you know what happens then.
Freaking okay. Military, man.
Ugh. Right? Thanks, Obama.
Right?
All right. Just seems like... They should have known ahead of time that there was going to be trouble. That's all I'm saying is dinosaurs plus people usually equals dinosaurs.
Oh,
that's my
so
that's my
you're
point.
Saying like, oh, if there's one kid gets mauled by a jaguar at a zoo, they're going to close the zoo? No, man. You live and learn. You move on.
A lot of people were killed on this particular island.
All right.
Island.
So, a lot of people are killed.
Right.
So
what I'm saying is clearly we haven't figured out a way to make it safe to have dinosaurs exist.
It was fine until they started to monkey with nature.
That's
until they
right.
Started to play with God. Right, you don't genetically alter dinosaurs. Just leave them be. Leave them as God intended for them to be.
Extinct?
No.
Didn't God kill all the dinosaurs with the flood?
You don't know, man.
Okay. I guess I do. I guess there's a lot I don't know.
The flood. Is that how they think the dinosaurs died?
What?
How
did I thought there was an asteroid hit the Earth or something like that,
yeah.
And it created some
it
sort of
blotted
flooding.
Blotted out the sun. Blotted out the sun. And
I thought there was a flood, too.
Starved all the vegetation, and so it was like a nuclear winter. They couldn't survive.
Yeah, whatever.
There was no flood.
There was a flood in the Bible that
right.
Maybe Bean's referring
to. Bean's
I don't
confusing
know.
The dinosaurs and the Bible again.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
You know it is. He went to the Creationist Museum and he realized that Fred Flintstone was hanging out with the dinosaurs during Noah's Ark.
I thought Adam and Eve wrestled a dinosaur. I must not have read that right.
Oh, you know what? You did, but that would make a great film, too.
Not
Adam and
one.
Eve wrestling a dinosaur.
Make a note.
Jurassic Park. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
I don't know.
You don't. Spy was second at the box office with $16 paltry million. Dollars. Get out of here, Spy, with your $16 million. No one's interested in you.
That's pretty good if you don't compare it to the others.
San Andreas was third with $11 million. And Insidious Chapter 3, Pitch Perfect 2, rounded out the top five, followed by Entourage, Max, Mad Max, Fury Road,
Avengers, Age of Ultron, Tomorrowland, and Love and Mercy were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Last hour, if you missed it, we found out that Kevin went to see Love and Mercy, the biopic about Brian Wilson.
I did.
Inexplicable.
Shocking.
Just stunning.
How dare you?
The world stopped.
No louds. And not only
not one loud.
Not only no louds, but based on a guy who wrote music from the 60s that Kevin hates.
Yep.
And everybody had knows.
And everything Kevin would not like to see.
You must have been sitting there just fuming, Kevin, when that movie started. Like, what am I doing here?
I'm going to go get some juju bees.
That's what Kevin was thinking. I'm going to get big box goobers. I'll be back.
Maybe I can stumble into a different theater.
That's right.
It's pretty good, actually.
See, Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
See what happens when you open yourself up to new possibilities?
I'm not going to do it again, but I mean, that was pretty good.
Every time one of your cultured friends drags you to a small independent drama, you go screaming.
Yeah, I never learn, do I?
Nope.
And it's usually pretty good.
Kicking and screaming tooth and nail to get you in the theater, and then invariably you come back on a Monday and go, well, that's pretty good. I actually enjoyed it. So what, you'd think after the 40th, 50th time that happens, you would stop...
You would think
you
that.
You would stop resisting going to see a small little feature film that you wouldn't ordinarily go to.
Would you say you had fun, fun, fun?
Oh, man.
Just asking.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to need my catch my breath over here.
Yeah, that's like a punch in the nose. That stuns you. That doesn't it? Getting no good vibrations in that joke at all. That's all I know.
Kevin, wouldn't it be nice if you could play along?
I would. I would love that. Games, but I can't.
I guess not.
All right. This is a thing.
Moving on.
Seems like a shorter story than I was hoping for.
Duran Duran has a new album.
They do.
Called Paper Gods, and it's going to be out in September. And people say it's great.
Hmm. What people?
People who Duran
Duran.
Nile Rodgers produced it, along with Mark Ronson.
Oh, no kidding.
Heavy hitters right there.
Right there, right. Red Hot Chili Peppers guitarist John Frusciante puts in a guest appearance.
Okay.
Janelle Monáe.
Love.
Also featured in the first single. They say this could be the rebirth of Duran Duran. How about that?
How about that?
So we're going to have to take a listen in September. More music news. Billy Corgan has changed the touring lineup for the Smashing Pumpkins again. I'm shocked because it seems like everybody likes working with Billy. Blabbermouth says that Daughtry drummer Robin Diaz will be playing drums, replacing ex-Rage Against the Machine drummer Brad Wilk. Katie Cole is taking over on bass for Mark Stromer of The Killers. And so it's a brand new lineup as they go out on their tour dates.
So Smashing Pumpkins is just Billy Corgan and whoever he can get to play with him.
And some people. Right. Finally, they're getting around to rebooting the Smurf movies. I was so tired of those old Smurf movies from a few months ago. Now there's brand new Smurf movies in the works.
Sound like
me. I do. New cast. Gone with those oldsters, Katy Perry and Hank Azaria. New cast is being brought in to voice the characters. Demi Lovato will be... Vagina Smurf? I don't know. I forget her name. Girl Smurf?
Smurfette?
Smurfette. Thank you. Mandy Patinkin as Papa Smurf. And Rainn Wilson will be the voice of the evil Gargamel. So, finally, we get new Smurfs. The name of the first in the new Smurf franchise? Get Smurfy will be its name.
Seriously?
Yep. Should have left bad enough alone. But no.
Demi Lovato!
NPR and its in-depth coverage of all things esoteric finally got their big interview with porn star Kim Kardashian. They must have been chomping at the bit to finally talk to her. This is the last news outlet in the world, by the way, that's doing a Kim Kardashian story. They asked her all the pertinent questions about the drought in California, about the deficit, about the pending presidential elections.
Sure. Do we have access to this whole interview?
Oh, Ralph? No. Wait a minute. They asked her what her second baby's name is going to be.
Okay.
They said, is it going to be Southwest? Because your first baby was Northwest. So how about Southwest? Kim gave the following answer.
I don't like Southwest, though, because that's like, where, you know, North will always, you know, be better and,
right.
and be more, she has a better direction.
Well, yes, and you're setting, right, you're setting your kids up for conflict and to be
right.
in opposition, aren't you? Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't, I don't think we'll go with another direction.
So there you have it. Breaking news.
Who the hell is interviewing Kim Kardashian on NPR, and how many producers quit before that interview aired?
I don't know. It sounds like it's front of a live audience.
Yeah, it does.
Is there a comedy interview show on NPR?
I don't know anything about NPR.
Same.
But
there is one, by the way. There's a show called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
But that's like a game show.
In front
show
of a live audience.
Thing,
yeah,
right?
It's kind of a game show, but they have guests on. And
oh, well, maybe that's where it's from.
But I don't know. It's weird that they would have her at all.
But someone suggested that they won't name the baby Southwest because they can't trademark that name because the airline already has it taken. So they can't make any money off of it. And I think that may be true. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Taylor Williamson celebrates his 29th birthday today. We love Taylor.
What a sexy beast he is.
Frequent guest on the show. All you Taylors out there who are big fans can celebrate his birthday. And as I've often said, he was the second most talented American in 2013. He has that going for him.
All right.
Speaking of the Wests, Northwest is 2 today. No word yet on whether Disneyland has been closed down, but I don't believe it was. I think that may have just been a story because I believe it's open for business. Disneyland is open for business as usual. They are West-free as far as I know today. So, Wayne Sermon, Imagine Dragons guitarist, is 31. Neil Patrick Harris, enormously talented and funny man, 42 years old. Leah Remini. 45. Ice Cube celebrates his 46th birthday today. Courtney Cox is 51. Helen Hunt is 52. And actor Jim Belushi is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, I asked Dave the King of Mexico how to pronounce this next person's name, and he told me, but I don't know that he's much help in this.
You're the guy to go to? You're going to him for pronunciation?
Yale Stone plays Morello in Orange is the New Black. Yale.
All right.
I think she will be in studio tomorrow, and we'll figure that out. The Bachelorette Report will happen tomorrow as well.
Big news about the Bachelorette, by the way. She posted a photograph on Snapchat of her in bed with one of the contestants.
Oh, it's on.
So well, that seems like a giveaway doesn't
it? People are screaming spoilers. Or is it one big misdirection so you don't think it is what you think it is? Right?
I don't even know what you're saying.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Ashley Escada will be here tomorrow talking about E3, and we will talk to director Eli Roth tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.